Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Thank you for being with us. It is Monday night. We're in the fight, at least in the train part of the fight. All right, I don't know what part you're in exactly, but we're in a fight. We're actually being trained for the big fight, but all that is a fight because if you lose the fight in the training, then you don't get to go to the real fight, right? Yeah, so you don't want to lose that. All right, so the fight of your life is on. It's called training. It's called testing. It's called being proven because the real war is going just like, you know, with Israel, you know, the war began. And so, you know, I can truly say that the war is on and we're close to the war, the actual real war that we're going to be in. Everything else has been training. Everything else has been learning. If you haven't been doing that well, then you might want to start making good grades with God because, you know, the thing is, it's not that you do whatever level you've learned. If you've learned well, you're going to do fine. If you haven't learned well, you're going to be like, you know, washing dishes and all that, which is probably a great job. But you'll be away from the foxholes and from the war zone and from the real action going on. You'll be back doing stuff. God will have you doing stuff, but it won't be much as far as, you know, being in the action. Maybe you don't like the action. So if you haven't been passing your test, you don't like action, then that makes sense, sir. Yeah? So that's what will happen. So if you've been passing your test, and God's been showing you the reason for that test is so you can actually enter into real warfare. And, you know, I kind of made fun of this little thing the other day when I said, you know, it's like some young man's gone to training camp and for the military, and he's, you know, being shot at. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. It's like they make it like real warfare, right? And so I came up with this thing where he calls his mommy and says, "Mom, hey, you know, I'm in war over here, and can you send me some, like, some sandwiches and some Butterfingers? I need some stuff. I need some sweets." And he says, "Yeah, I've been finding out your prayers are working, Mom, because all those bullets that are hitting me, they're just bouncing right off. Kind of hurt me a little bit, but they bounce off. Man, I'm like, God is good. I don't know what's going on." And his mother very sweetly and very upfront and lovingly says, "Honey, you're just in training." "You're just in training." And he goes, "Oh, my God. Oh, that's right." So I think it's kind of what happens with us. We, you know, we're really going through training, and we think it's, you know, the battle for our life. And in some ways, it is a battle for your life, because if you don't pass the training, then you don't get, you know, you get to do all the jobs that, you know, that are kind of back in the background, and they're not up there where you get to see the face of the enemy and get to watch God defeat and destroy. And, you know, all you do is hear that it's happening, but there are going to be those people who pass the test, who believe God, who are letting God, you know, show them how to do things the right way, his way, not just our way, not just some religious way, but his way. And because you've let him train you, you know, you're going to be right up front there looking at the enemy right in the face. It's like David did with Goliath. You know, think about that. All of Israel, they've been trained in the army for years, right? But obviously, their king, King Saul, and the leader had the spirit of defeat upon him already. And he was in disobedience, of course. And when you're in disobedience, then you're not really learning anything. You're just failing constantly. And when you do that, you end up being, you know, God says, "Man, I got to give you somebody else. You're not doing the job, you know." And God will do that. He don't care about your feelings. He wants the job done. So if you haven't been doing your job, he may just say, "Hey, you know, I need to go back home and, you know, clean the toilets and, you know, keep the house clean. And why, you know, the other ones go out and, you know, face the enemy and watch God Almighty do mighty works right in front of them. You just didn't make it. I'm sorry. I wish you would have done better. We tried to tell you, you know, to do better, and you just couldn't for some reason. So, you know, go back home." And you think this wouldn't happen. It happened exactly with, in the Bible, you know, It's one of my favorite ones, where Gideon and his army, you know, God said, you know, yeah, I think he had like, what, 3,000 or 30-something thousand. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows what real warfare is about. If you get in real warfare and, you know, you've been sassing the lieutenant and you've been sassing the sergeant and you've been sassing the general and, like, talking bad about his back and, you know, you don't know what he's talking about. You know, and you've been doing that. It just affects you all the way around. And the spirit of the thing, and that's kind of the way it was with Saul. Saul was like, you know, he was bad-mouthing God and not doing what God said and all kinds of things. And so the spirit of him being upon him, being the leader, being upon his people, caused them to be in fear. So when Goliath shows up, you know, they're just like freaking out. They're going like, because why? The spirit of Saul is upon them. Well, you got David, who's been separated and separated from all the hustle and bustle of the, you know, religious crew and the merchandisers, if you will, and the leaders who are compromised, you know, and don't have a clue. And so when the real war comes up, you know, they start going, oh my God, you know, what are we doing? You know, like, so, you know, Goliath is intimidating us. Goliath is challenging somebody to come out there and fight him. And there wasn't anybody that was trained enough. You know, one of the things was that even though they were trained to a certain degree, the spirit of their leader was that of compromise and a coward. You know, he couldn't stick with anything. And double-minded, he was, you know, he started out, he's one of those that started out really good. How many leaders you know, how many people, how many Christian brothers and sisters you know start out really good? And then as they go along, they just kind of like, you know, fall apart. I had times like that in my life. And God says, you know, you don't want to be used by me, Randy. I'm going like, you know, that's what I live for. He said, well, you can't start passing those tests, boy. I'm going like, yes, sir. And so it was difficult. You'd have got me back in the foxhole with you back in those days, and they had real bullets, you know, whizzing over me. I would have probably, you know, called in for mommy to come get me. Mommy, bring me a hamburger, and I need some Butterfingers or something, you know. Bring me an ice cream float, please. You know, and mommy would have said, hey, son, you know, now you're in the real warfare, in the real war. I can't do that. So, you know, but you're freaking out and, you know, wanting your mommy and wanting your daddy and whoever else you want. And instead of trusting God and believing God, that's what we do. We fall apart. And the spirit of our leaders, see, here's the problem with those people who are still a mix of the merchandising group is because although they love God, I think Saul loved God. He did. He did great at first, right? He was really a great leader. And Samuel chose him, so he couldn't be all that bad. Samuel grieved over the fact that Saul was taken out, right? Yeah, he grieved over that. And he was, you know, really disturbed about that. But the problem is that, you know, he wasn't doing his job. And when he began to compromise, when he began to compromise and try to make his own way of, you know, taking care of business, you know, Saul, you didn't do what God said. This is the prophet Samuel told Saul. He said, I want you to go in there and kill everybody. I mean, you know, how difficult is that? Kill everybody. Don't bring home nothing because that's what the Lord says, not what the prophet is saying because he feels like he's in a killing mode. He said, hey, you know, kill them all. Say, don't bring one of them back. What does Saul do? He's in there and he's, well, you know, that merchandising spirit. He's saying, well, you know, we could use some of that, those cattle. And, you know, we kill a lot of them, but, you know, so Samuel says, what's that ooing of the sheep and the mooing of the cows or whatever it was. And Saul goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, we just kind of figured that we'd just kind of, you know, sell Jesus' word. We thought we'd just like, you know, what's wrong with that anyway? I mean, come on. You know, it makes money, right? And so, you know, he didn't say that exactly. I don't think he ever sold any books, but sold the word of God. But this is kind of what's happening with our leadership. So we have the spirit. We have people being trained. You know, Israel was being trained, right? They were out there, you know, having lieutenants and sergeants and captains of the army. They were, you know, but the spirit that was upon the leaders, that particular leader. And you know, if the leader was like that, the leaders under him, all of his generals were like that, because that's what effect it has on you. Now, people don't realize it. They get used to it. They get used to compromise. They get used to begging. They get used to pleading for money. They're used for to making all the excuses for why they're not blessed. You know, I mean, everybody has trouble once in a while, right? You know, if you get trouble once, you know, once in a while, you know, once a year, once every 2 or 3 years, something where you need to help. That's okay. But when it's just, you know, when the spirit of the merchandisers has got on you, and you are pulling some of their stuff, doing some of the things, you wonder why your life is falling apart and why you don't have much of anything as far as you got the spirit of those people still on you. So all we got to do is ask God to deliver us. I had the spirit of them on me. I did. I had the spirit of them on me doing what they did. Thought it was great. Never even thought a second about it being wrong. I mean, you know, I was a giver. I gave. Every time an evangelist asked for money, I give. Even if it was my rent money or whatever. You know what? I'm going to believe God, Jesus. Now, I did all kinds of stuff. I was doing that. And then my bills weren't being paid. Things were happening. And then I got mad at God. And God says, don't get mad at me. I didn't tell you to do that. Well, I just wanted to be generous. He said, yeah. You know, obey my voice, Randy. Obey my voice. I went, okay, you mean I'm not obeying your voice? Okay, so show me. So he started dealing with me, and it was difficult. And eventually I started seeing a lot of the teachings that I was getting, a lot of the things I was hearing were, you know, not God's word at all. It looked like it, smelt like it, seemed like it, but really a lot of it was not. And so it was difficult for me to change. I just was rooted and grounded in that. I looked up to those people. Those people were great to me. And in many ways, they kind of still are, except the fact I see them as Sauls. They've become compromising, money-grubbing. No, you know, they are real dignified about it. They're really classy at doing it. You know, they're money-grubbers, and they're, you know, professional money-raisers. And they're always finding this way, oh, you know, please give to me because, you know, my wife and, you know, my husband and my family and my church and my ministry and, you know, please buy these or whatever the thing is. And so they've been trained, but they got the spirit of defeat on them because they're doing whatever they think is right to get provision, you know, and money just happens to be a pretty big thing if you don't, you know what I'm talking about. The love of it is the root of all kinds of evil. So, yeah, so it's really gotten down, and they don't know what they're doing. Honest to God, I really believe that they really believe what they're doing is right, or they wouldn't be doing it. But you know what? Just like Saul. Saul thought he was doing the right thing. And one day he got in a war. He got in a battle with one big bad dude. His name was Goliath, right? I'm not giving any scripture. This is totally spontaneous here, believe it or not. So if you don't know these scriptures, you know, then I'm gonna talk like this for a minute, and then I may change it. But you know, one day in all their training they had, you know, it doesn't matter how much training you got. I went to Bible school and I got trained, you know. But who were you being trained by? I mean, even though they taught you good biblical things, maybe not everything perfect, but some pretty good stuff. What was the spirit upon them? Were they merchandisers? Were they compromisers? You know, maybe they didn't. You didn't know it. Maybe you didn't know what was going on. But they were compromising. Very good at. Gotten used to it. Didn't have any guilt or shame about it. They had no condemnation. But for those that are in Christ Jesus, right? Except for, you know, I can kind of do what I want and claim that scripture and be fine. You know, and the Lord's going like, you know, Randy, it's the spirit of the thing. Yes, you know, you got good scriptures. Yes, you got this and you got that and. You're a giver, and you're helping people, and you're doing things. He said, but I need you to learn to obey my voice. The Bible says, even in the Old Testament, he obeys my voice, I will bless. All these blessings will come on you if you obey my voice. That's in the Old Testament, not just the New. Isn't that amazing? I've been listening to this several times over again. Sometimes do a search on the Old Testament, obey my voice. You know, not the law. The law is good. Not anything else. Just obey my voice. And see what you come up with. It will amaze you. It was amazing when I first started seeing that. Truly amazing. And so what we have here is we have people who have been trained, people going to Bible school, people got all the right words and all the right things, and they love God, and they truly love God. But the spirit of defeat is upon them, and they're always, you know, groping around trying to, you know, they've really gotten good at looking like everything's just fine. But behind closed doors, you know, they're having to raise money all the time, having to ask this, ask that, and just making up reasons why, you know, why they're going to ask. And, you know, I'm just going to humble myself and ask you. I did the same stuff. I did exactly the same thing, and it was the spirit of those leaders that was upon me. And I'm not blaming them, because I obviously didn't check it out with God. But eventually God got a hold of me and said, if you want to walk with me, you're going to have to obey my voice, Randy. Don't just be doing what everybody says that you think is okay. So I'm going to teach you. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to tell you some things you don't like. But if you'll listen to me, I will use you. I will use you. And so I had to start doing it. It was very difficult. Very difficult. A lot of things I was patting myself on the back about, God said, I didn't tell you to do that. Get away from me. You know, like, I don't know you on that one. I'm going, what? I don't know you. In other words, I didn't tell you to do that. You did that because you were trying to be generous, because you were trying to be nice, because you were trying to be, you did that. And I didn't give you one inkling to do that thing, and you did it. So you got your own righteousness going on. If you keep going that direction, you're going to find yourself being in unrighteousness instead of any kind of righteousness. Spirit's going to be born again, but your soul and your body, it's going to be messed up. So get it right. So I'm sitting there going, yeehaw, ride 'em, cowboy. I started like riding that bull again, like, oh, my God, I had to get rid of all that bull that I had gotten hold of. And it's taking time, and I'm still getting delivered of it, I think. So it's in a process. But the spirit of the defeat upon the leadership, the general overall leadership, the body of Christ that I was a part of, was what was causing me to do the things that I did and justify it. Like, I even had scripture, of course, right? If you don't have scripture, how can you mess up really good and make it really look good? You can only do that if you have a Bible scripture to go along with it, something you've taken out of context and something you're doing that's your own will and not the will of the Father, right? And then you act like you got to do all these things. I've done that. I've done all this, but every bit of it, and it's sad. It was horrible. I didn't have the blessing of God in my life anymore. Why? Because I was doing things on my own. A lot of good things, man. A lot of preaching, teaching, you know, having healing, miracle services, doing all kinds of things, and falling in that defeat cycle. And thank God for the miracle that he brought me out of that. He brought me out of it. So the same thing with a lot of us. Any of you who have been part of this, you know, it's very possible that if you're still connected to that, and I've been trying to tell people, come out from among them, get ready. I'm fixing to tell you some really amazing news. All right, get ready. I'm going to say some really amazing news. All right, but hang on. Did it come out from among them? You know, you got to come out from among them. Because if you don't, you're not going to be holy. What's holy? Obeying God. It's not doing, quote, holy things. It's being holy. Being holy is obeying God. Jesus did whatever his Father told him to do. And if he worked on the Sabbath and God was telling him to work on the Sabbath, you know, with healing people or whatever he was doing, then he had the Father's approval, and that's what made it holy, and they hated him for it. Because he didn't abide by the way they looked at things and the way they saw things. And he said, my Father works, I work. That's how he said it. Amen? That's what you and I need to say. We need to learn what the Father's doing and do that. And the sooner we start doing that, the sooner we're going to quit having to beg, we're going to quit having to ask. Ask the Father, ask the Lord. You're not going to have to do that anymore. I guarantee it. You know, unless you get somehow in disobedience and you find yourself keeping on doing disobedient things, then you're going to find yourself having to ask all the time. Not ask God, ask people. I've done it. I've been there. It's a sad, pathetic place to be. And I can't figure out, what's wrong with me? Hey, man, if you get anything, let me know. You know, nobody knew. Nobody knew anything to tell me, you know. I'm going like, but finally when I got told by God, God's the one that had to tell me. You know, nobody was sent that I remember ever. God just had to, you know, give me revelation. And so it was very, very interesting how it all happened. And then little by little, the Lord says, come out from among them, be ye holy. Come among my brethren, my brethren. And when I started coming out, I started seeing all kinds of things that I believed in, I thought was right, I thought was cool, I thought was like, well, if they're doing it, you know, I should be doing it. They're selling books and looking, you know, raising money by selling things and doing things like that, then why can't I? And so I was doing it just like everybody else. And other things too. And the Lord said, not going to happen, Randy. I want you to separate yourself out and be holy. If you'll do that, I will teach you what you were never taught. And I will cleanse you from the iniquity and from the spirit of disobedience, which was what Saul was in, very involved in. Saul was in very much in disobedience. Let me get that scripture for you here. Hang on a second. All right, here we go. All right, 1 Samuel 15. It goes back to that same scripture I talked about earlier where he goes to the King Agag and brings him back alive and, you know, the plunder and the battle rather than just destroy everything as God had commanded him through Samuel. And then Samuel confronted him. And boy, did he get ticked off. Oh, did he get ticked off. Woo, did he get ticked off. He tore Samuel's garment, which was a holy garment, and when he did that, he said, you have just torn the kingdom from yourself, boy. It's over for you. God's going to get somebody else. Yeah, and so that was all in 1 Samuel 15. You can look at that whenever you get a chance. Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, you know, all through that 20, 21, you know, 16, you know. So finally God tells him, let me see the scripture that exactly. Okay, Samuel answered 1 Samuel 16:22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. You got people sacrificing stuff all the time. I did it. I'd give my rent money away. I'd give my money away just saying, oh, I want to be generous. God's going to take care of it. God never told me to give my rent money away. But maybe once in 5 years that would happen. And then I got blessed by it when I did. Once in 5 years, once in a while, this and there, you know, God would do things. And believe me, I was willing to do it and was doing it. Find myself constantly in sacrifice. Constantly, oh God, where's my rent money? He said, you gave it to the preacher. You didn't give that to me, you gave it to the preacher. And I'm like, okay. You know, and so, you know, so obedience is better than sacrifice, friend. So that's what I'm telling you. People come up with all kinds of reasons that they, man, you know what, I just feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, well, then how come you're begging? How come these preachers all say, oh, I'm just you know, giving stuff away. And, you know, all the time, trying to, you know, create an environment of God blessing them. You know, which sounds really good. I did it. It sounded really good. I went for it. The Lord said, I didn't tell you to do that. Obedience has been a sacrifice. Obey my voice. Or you're going to be sacrificing. You're going to be going through stuff. You're going to be always begging, always pleading, always doing what they're doing. And they got it all sanctified out. Like, you know what? This is the way it is. I'm a humble man of God. I'm a humble woman of God. I'm not afraid to ask. You know, the problem is you're asking the wrong people and you're doing the wrong things. You're doing like Saul did. And God is rebuking you. He rebuked me heavily and said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm going like, wow, Lord, thank you for that. And he began to help me. I mean, God loves us. When he was rebuking me, he wasn't trying to hurt my feelings. It did hurt my feelings a little bit, you know. I thought, well, how can you say that those people are great people? They got, you know, they preach good, they teach good, they get you all excited. He said, yeah, they become, without knowing it, just like Saul. They became professional exhorters. They're not really doing it by my spirit. It's professional exhorters. They know how to make it look really good and create an environment where people get excited and all that. And he said it's just a bunch of empty rhetoric. It's nothing. And they end up in a place of always sacrificing, always having to ask, always having to plead, always having to do things. He said, I'm not in it. I've never been in it. You're the bleeding of the sheep. He said, what is that? He said, I told you to kill them all. He said, well, you know, I just didn't think I needed to do that. Kind of cruel. It's what the Lord says. It doesn't matter whether you and I think it's cruel or not. It's what the Lord told, you know, Saul to do. And Saul is like, well, you know, we could take this stuff and do something with it. We could take this money here and we can do something with this, God. God said, I don't need your money. I don't need your offering. I don't need nothing. I need your obedience, period. And your obedience will bring blessing. If you obey my voice, all these blessings will come on you. You're not going to be begging. Mr. Preacher, Mrs. Preacher, whoever you are out there listening to me, secretly and privately, God loves you. I love you. I've been in your shoes. I love you. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you've been duped. I was duped. It wasn't like they did it on purpose. They became duped themselves. Saul didn't want to dupe people because he was trying to dupe them. He became duped himself, and he didn't even know he was duped. Until one day, you know, I love this one part where, you know, when David shows up, you know, and he, you know, Saul at least had enough sense to let David go good. But the problem is when Saul did that, his kingdom was over. Because once David got in there, he was out, basically. And that's what God's plan was. Yeah, David goes out there and says, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? And he slung the little stone while the rest of them are sitting over there in the spirit of defeat. The spirit of defeat brings fear. If you find yourself in all kinds of fear, fear this and fear that, fear you're going to die, fear you're going to get sick, fear you're going to not have any money, fear you're going to not make it. And if you got all those kind of fears going on constantly, friend, I'm telling you, you're in the spirit of defeat. And it may be upon you because of hanging around too many of the wrong people and believing their nonsense and listening to their shows and watching their TV program, you know. Now, once you get through it, once I overcame, I could watch it without being influenced by it. It's like football. God wouldn't let me watch football for 10 years because I was obsessed with football. It was my life. It's everything I was. The only thing I was good at. So now when I got saved, he asked me to give it up. Although I was playing ball at college, you know, I was a walk-on and doing good, going up, moving up fast. The Lord one day said, I want you to give that up for me. I went, why? It's the only thing I know how to do. The only thing I'm good at, the only thing I can make money at. So I want you to give it up for me. It was like Abraham offering up Isaac, man. I'm like, this is the only begotten thing I can do. And God goes, I know. I want you to trust me. I don't want you to do like others. Use your abilities and add your abilities to what I'm doing. I can bless people like that to a certain degree, but I want somebody that will do everything I want. If you'll do that for me, Randy. You know, you don't have to. If you'll do it for me, willingly, I will bless you. I will bless you. And he's asked me to do that many times. Many of you have done the same thing. So the spirit of defeat had come upon them, and then David comes along. And because the spirit of defeat was all of Israel, they were full of fear. Right? Just like people right now, a lot of these preachers, the reason they preach pre-tribulation rapture and put fear on people is because they're afraid. They are afraid. They're teaching fear because they have fear. They're preaching defeat because they have defeat. And you're going to listen to that nonsense? You listen to that trash, you'll have fear too. If you don't believe God, that once you're truly born again, that you can lose your salvation over something you did, you know, last week, last month, you know, let me tell you something, friend. You're not going to be blaspheming. You're not going to be doing those things without a conscience. You're going to be under conviction of the Holy Spirit. When you're not born again, you don't have a conviction of any of that. You may feel guilty for a few seconds, and it's always going to like, you back at it again without any conscience. If you're doing that, you are not born again. You are not born again, friend, if you're doing that. So get born again. And you'll have to get born again once. And when you get born again once, truly born again by God, even when you sin and you make mistakes, the Holy Spirit inside you will make you so miserable, which is the gift of God, the gift of misery. Come upon you, and you will become sorrowful and grieving, and you can't do it or keep it for long. It doesn't mean we don't sin. It means that when we do, now we have somebody inside of us who is there to, you know, drive you back, yeah, to that place with him. Amen. Yeah, so he will keep you from those things. So, you know, there's a scripture that talks about this. Somebody quoted this one night. I think it was, I forget who it was, but the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of heaven? Watch this. Romans 5, 17. Let me see. Let me read this to you. This is really awesome. I saw this. Don't you realize that wrongdoers or the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so they say, well, if you're doing that and you're saved, you can lose your salvation. Friend, he's talking about people right here. It's really plain what he's saying. He said, do you not realize that the unrighteous? What's the unrighteous? Are you unrighteous? That means that you're not born again. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit? He makes it plain. And then he kind of brings out some things that they do. You can, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolater, nor adulterer. They're not talking about somebody who committed adultery and made a mistake. Some of you have done that. I know, you've told me. You committed adultery. You're going to hell on that? If you live in adultery and if you are an adulterer, that means you're not even born again. Right? That's what that means. Right. So, look, this is really amazing. I love this stuff. Let me just read some more of this stuff. I want to go here just for a minute. I think you're going to like this. Go to the New King James Version, which is pretty cool. I'm going to make this really plain and simple so you can get it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So right there is the key to what's happening here. When you get born again, friend, you are never going to be unrighteous again. You might do unrighteous things, but you are never unrighteous. It's like saying you're not even born. That's what they're saying is that, do you not know that those who are not born again will not inherit the kingdom? That's saying the same thing. Because when you become born again, you become righteous in your spirit man. Now, your soul might do unrighteous things, but you yourself are not unrighteous, just like you're not a fornicator. If you're a fornicator, you're going to hell. You're already in hell. Because the fornicators are people who go around looking to fornicate. And I'm talking about times I fornicated as a Christian. That didn't make me a fornicator. A fornicator is somebody who goes around looking. So you have to see, you have to read the scripture and read the Bible the way it says it and understand why it says it like that. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What he's saying is if you're not born again, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And here's some things that they do. It didn't say neither fornicating. He said neither fornicators, a whole different thing, neither nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Now, if you're still doing all this stuff and you are one of those, I'm not saying you may not have fornicated here or there, you know, in your life as a Christian, but if you're a fornicator and that's what you do and that's who you are, you're not even born again. You are still unrighteous. You have never become righteous in your life. You have never been born again. It says it right there. Really plain, really simple. Yeah. Do you not understand? Do not wrong and cheat. And you do these things to your brother? Yeah. Do you not know that the unrighteous, and he goes right on and he says, do not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, who is not born again. And then he says, and here's what they are. Here's how you know. A fornicator is somebody who goes around good without any conscience. That's what they are. When you get born again and you've been a fornicator, you might still have a, you might fornicate, you know, once, you know, off and on in your life. But if you go back to being a fornicator and that's all you look for to do every day, however soon, often you did it, you know, and that's what you look for, that's what you wake up thinking about, you know, then that's still who you are. You haven't been born again. You have deceived. You got a religious spirit on you. You think you've been born again, but you haven't. You may have had some religious experiences. You may have gone down to the altar and fallen out and cried. You know, it doesn't mean that falling out and crying is getting born again. Being born again is being born again. You go from being an unrighteous person to a righteous person, who still off and on does unrighteous things. Born of God sinneth not. Why? Because your spirit man never sins again. He gets seized with Christ in many places, and you become a righteous person. But then it goes on a little bit later. It says he said has no sin is a liar. So how can the Bible contradict itself? It doesn't contradict itself. It's separating out your spirit man, what you're truly born again, to the fact that when you get, you know, as a Christian, you're going to commit an unrighteous act at times in your life. You're going to lie. You're going to say something. But if you start lying all the time, and you start lying, 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 lying about your money, about your life, about your husband, about your wife, about your friends, about who you are, what you're doing. If you lie, 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 and I've known some people that have been like that. I've pastored and counseled lots of people. Granted, I know some people from into incest, homosexuality. They're into all kinds of things, adultery. And then what? Sometimes they were not born again. They had a religious experience, got some peace for a couple of days, because you know what? They went down there and talked about what they'd been doing wrong, and they felt peace about it. But it had nothing to do with them being born again, because they go right back to their stuff again, because you know what? They're still a fornicator. They're still a liar. They're still an idolater. They're still an adulterer. They're still homosexual. Every part of them still, you know, the spirit man, when a homosexual is born again, a spirit man becomes righteous. He may still have struggles in sin off and on and do a homosexual thing, but it doesn't make him a homosexual if he's truly born again. All right, so it's the same thing that, you know, goes with a lot of people. They get a religious spirit going on, you know, and I've seen this a lot because I've pastored, I've been all kinds of things. And, you know, some people just don't get born again for some reason, and they're just as religious as anybody that you know. They'll read their Bible, they'll sing songs and hymns and praise God, and then go out and cheat behind you without even thinking a thing about it, just hoping to God they don't get caught. Happens a lot. And those people are not born again because they are adulterers. They are molesters or whatever you want to call them. That's where they have not got that broken. That means that, you know, people don't sin. Okay, so we've got to make that really clear. But if you're still unrighteous, that means you are not born again. Because unrighteous people, no matter how religious they are, or no matter what sins they're committing, there's no work that can save you, friend. You can't go to church enough. If you're not born again, you are not born again. So Saul had the spirit of defeat upon him, and because he did, it came upon all of Israel. So this is what's happened in the body of Christ. We have a bunch of disobedient Sauls who at one time started out really good, loved God, just like I did, like we all did, like most of us did, and then eventually, little by little, you began to adjust your, you know, well, you know, I really don't have to, you know, I really can, and then pretty soon you become a disobedient Christian. And that sin begins to, it stays upon you because you never get rid of it. Right? Because you've justified that it's okay to do what you're doing. And God says, I love you. I love you a lot. I want you to get right with me. So if you had that problem tonight, friend, I want you to say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I want to be truly born again. I want to be truly born again. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as my Lord. And I know you died on the cross for me. And I need a new life. I want to be born again. In Jesus' name, cleanse me and wash me. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I want to be a saint. I want to be a righteous person. Make me righteous, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know Christ rose from the dead on the third day and ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, the Holy Spirit has been sent. So fill them with the Holy Ghost. Tithe them in the Holy Ghost and fire in Jesus' name. Let them have that heavenly language. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, so they can walk with you. Let them get baptized in water, Father. Let that be the next step. They get baptized in water. It's an awesome experience. Get baptized. I baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. That way they know which God we're talking about, right? Which Father we're talking about, which Holy Spirit we're talking about. The one that Jesus was the head of, right? The one that he sent him to earth with, his Heavenly Father. It's the name of Jesus. Amen. So that's the way I do it. So, I'm going to say that thing a long time ago. I'm a Trinity person all the way, but I believe in Jesus' name. You don't pray for people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're doing that, you're probably going to see much happening. But you pray in the name of Jesus, who is the one who was sent by the Father, anointed by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, then you're on the right track. Use his name. Amen. If you have his name, use his name. It'd be awesome. All right. So right? Jesus criticized the teachers of his time. I'm reading this from the thing I'm looking at. For similar practices, Matthew 6 notes that righteous activities, fasting, public prayer, giving to those in need, that people often use to look good in front of others rather than to honor God. That's 1 Samuel 15. The problem is not the offering, but the disobedience of God's command and the desire for approval of people rather than the approval of God. Well, you know, we don't start out like that, but sometimes we end up in it, and that's what Saul did. He wanted to look good before the people. He wanted to look good before the people. Man, we've all, if you haven't ever done that, you've done pretty good. I've done that. I've been there. And God, I've talked about it on the show many times about how God, you know, dealt with me about that. Maybe I can't use you if you're going to be a man pleaser. I'm going like, what? I'm not a man pleaser. Yeah, you are. You got it in you. Everybody's got it in them. If anybody says, I don't have that in me, you're lying. Because everybody's got everything in you. Of your flesh, because that's a flesh thing, and everybody has flesh, and everybody's flesh is flesh. So my flesh is no different than your flesh. So maybe you've never activated it too much, but it's still there, and you have to deal with it, and then get rid of it, or let God help you with it. All right, friends. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying God loves you, man. I'm on your side. I'm with you, but I'm not going to have your blood on my hands, right? I'm not going to do that. And so I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to love you. And know that you're just like me, that God is good. Don't you love the scripture that I read in Romans? Wasn't that awesome? About very, very simple to see. About being righteous. Right? Yeah. See, look here. Look at the scripture. You're talking about unrighteous. Look at this. Dare any of you have it? This is 1 Corinthians 5:6, talking about suing people, suing the brethren. 1 Corinthians 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against one another, go to the law before the unrighteous? You see what the mean? The unrighteous means? Unrighteous means sinners. It means people not even born again. They're not even of the kingdom of God. And not before the saints. See, he says it right there. Dare any of you, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1, dare any of you having a matter against one another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. See, that tells you right there what the unrighteous means. It's people who are not born again. Now, if you do unrighteous things at times, you get forgiven of that when you're born again, right? And you learn to conquer it. But he's saying the unrighteous, not a unrighteous thing. He's talking about when you go before the unrighteous. The scripture that's read in Romans talks about, you know, that don't you know that the unrighteous will not enter the kingdom of God? And he talks about plainly, and he calls them, you have a problem fornicating. No, he didn't say, if you have a problem fornicating, you have a problem with adultery, you have a problem with lying. No, he said, you are a liar, you are an adulterer, you are a fornicator. That's what you are. You live for that. You can't wait to get away from your wife to go out and do these things. You can't wait to get away from your husband to go out and do it. You can't wait to get away from mom and dad who are living for Jesus to go out and do your thing. You need to be born again because it consumes you because that's who you are, right? And God loves you. He wants to birth you in his kingdom. Amen? So if you haven't been born again, you're never going to conquer that stuff. You can't conquer. You can quit for a little while, but, you know, and go to church and be nice and do all the things and offer up offerings and give your money to God, and God's going to go like, man, I love you, but I want you to be obedient. Ask Jesus to come and save your soul. And then get born again so you won't be unrighteous. Because if you're unrighteous, friend, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell, lickety-split. But if you're a saint, if you've been born again, it's a whole different thing. So you got to identify in the Bible when it talks about the unrighteous. It didn't say he who does unrighteousness, a person who sins. The Bible says a person who sins. Don't you know we have an advocate with the Father? You're not talking about being a sinner. You're talking about being a person who sins. It's a difference, a big difference. That's why it says in Romans, it said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then people name all these things, go, well, yeah, what about some of you who've been committed adultery? Does that make you an adulterer? No, he's talking about adulterers. Some of you have fornicated. Are you a fornicator? Or you just, you know, slipped up a couple times or whatever. It's a difference. a big difference. It's talking about the person that you are, not a sin that you commit. You're an unrighteous person. You've not been born again. And that, I just read it to you in 1 Corinthians where it talks about, I mean, it's very plain. You go to court before the unrighteous. Really plain right there. It's one of the many places. Look it up for yourself. Do your own study. Don't just believe me. Go to the Word of God. And make sure you clarify and understand when it says the unrighteous is talking about people who are not born again. It's plainly, it says right here about, you're going to sue your brother? You're going to take him before the unrighteous? That's clear. He's talking about heathens, right? And not before the saints. Clear distinction right there. You know, if the saints are going to judge the world, he says, if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? We're going to judge angels, friend. Woo! Yeah. So, you know I love you. I'm going to tell you, get me blood off my hands if I got any on me. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business. All right. Good to be with you tonight. Oh, I was going to tell you something really important tonight. Oh, yes, because I thought about it when I was talking about some things earlier. I told you I would tell you something, a new report tonight, that's something that I got that I understand that. Remember we talked about this in the book of Revelation? I think we talked about it on the show one night, and so it was about how that there's going to come a time. We're in the market. We're in the, you know, financial industry. We're part of that system. We're in it, but we're not of it, right? If you're of it, that's different. It's like saying you're of it, it means you're unrighteous. If you're just in it, that means you could be doing something wrong, but you're just in it, you're not of it, right? You're not, yeah, you're not a heathen. You're not an unrighteous person. So so what it's saying here is, what I'm trying to say is, it says, this. I've been telling you guys, prophesying this for a while, that when we're coming to a time, and I believe we're here now, where God is saying, you have to come out from among them, because if you, it's no longer going to be you're among them. You're in it, but not of it. Now you're going to be. Now if you're in it, you're going to be of it. Okay, there we go. If you're in it, right now, we have been in it, but not of it. That worldly system, that financial system. But now is the time, and I'm going to share with you what God is saying to me. You can no longer be in it, or you will be of it. It is about to turn unrighteous. And here's what I have. I got this. I was talking with somebody this weekend, and I got this information while I was talking with him. Remember, I told you guys that we purchased the gold and silver for the transition of wealth. We've been talking about it for a long time. October the 4th, right? Y'all remember that? And then the war started 3 days after that, which is amazing to me. And I think this war, you know, it's going to be, I don't know what's going to go on with it. I don't have a word from God about it, except the fact that happened on my birthday means, and my call of Israel means that it's major. It's a major loosening of some things. So the fact that October 4th, we took money that was part of the banking system in our bank that we have for PGN, and we took that money and we bought gold and silver. And now that gold and silver is now, in a sense, out of the system, right? It's no longer in the bank. It's in our hands. And we purchased it with the money from the bank. So now, and that's just the beginning of the process. There's still a little bit more of the process to completely be out of the system. But when we did that on October the 4th, and God bless it, because we got the very, I told you, the market goes up and down, and it just happened to be down. I think it went down a little bit more the next day on the 5th. It went down $1 on the gold. It's a teeny weeny bit down. I missed it by $1 on gold. And then with silver, we missed it by 5 cents, 5 or 6 cents, pennies. Yeah, that's the difference, because it went down a teeny weeny bit the next day, and we got it on the 4th. And on the 5th, it went. I finally got the exact numbers on the chart, Friday, I think. And so we, you know, on the 5th, it went down. We made the transaction on the 4th. And then on the 5th, it did go down. Silver went down about 6 more cents, pennies. And then gold went down $1, maybe less than a dollar. It was less than a dollar, which is, you know, $1,000, $1,822 per ounce. I saw a dollar, friend. It's nothing bad. So that's exactly what happened. So, and when we did that, what we did is we brought that money out of the system, right? Brought it out of the system. Like when Israel came out of Egypt, they brought that gold and silver out of the system. And when they did, they moved out of Egypt. So get ready to move out of Egypt, y'all. That's what I'm trying to say. If that was a sign, and I didn't even realize that. I was sharing this with somebody this weekend. I was sharing it with Chris in Texas this weekend. And because I was sharing it with him, and I've talked about it many times on the show, but sometimes I repeat myself because I'm chewing the cud, right? And I was chewing it with him. He'd heard me talk about it, you know, many times. And I'm talking to him about it again, right? Like, you go, like, you know, what yeah, I already know that, Randy. You know, it's like, he didn't say that, but that's a, so it's kind of like, you know, and I'm chewing that cud. I'm telling him again. So October the 4th was, you know, a coming out moment. And then I realized what came out of my mouth was that what God said, come out from among them and be holy, come out of the financial system. Right. So that wasn't exactly the very day that it, now it's all, you know, it's all abomination. But it is a huge sign, y'all, to tell you to get ready, to make sure that you're doing, asking God to show you how to come out of it. Now we have like 85 to 90% of our monies that we had saved up, taken out, right? So we still have cash in the bank to pay bills and that kind of thing. I mean, I didn't take it all out and buy gold and silver with it. We still have the money to buy, you know, pay for, you know, bills and that kind of thing. And studio stuff and whatever we need to do and, you know, rent and that kind of thing. And yeah, anyway. So that's it, man. It's like the Lord is saying, October the 4th was a real signal of come out from among them, right? Is when we pulled that money, bought gold and silver with that, and that went from being dollars, which is going to crashing, went from dollars to gold and silver. We're now backed by gold and silver, mainly silver, mostly silver, and some gold. All right, so I wanted to tell you that, know that God sure loves you. He's taking care of you, watching over you. We don't have all the details on how we're going to divide everything out. We don't know about that yet. I don't know if we're going to do eventually do the debit card thing from the Texas Bullion Depository. We're going to work and do all that. And when they finally get that law passed, which they will, I believe they will. Well, they have to. It's a prophetic word. Right? They voted on it a few months ago and didn't pass it. I think the pressure is now on more than ever. Yeah, so get ready for that. Be praying about that, I think I don't really know exactly how it's all going to work out, but it's going to have something to do with the debit card. I don't know if we'll have everybody have a debit card connected to their gold and silver, where it's kept safe. I really don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, but you know, we'll be sending everybody a debit card. And they'll have their amount of, I'm not sure, but something, it may be something like that. So we have to do it God's way. You just can't say, well, why can't you just do it the way I think you should do it? Because I have to do it. We have to do it God's way, right? Whatever that is. And I don't know yet. It's like, I didn't know what to buy, what God's going to have me buy to get us into the golden silver. I did not know that until now we know. And so now the next step is I'm seeking God on every step because this has never been done before. This particular way, ever. This is a brand new thing. All right. So just letting you know. And things are going good. Everything's looking really good. All right. So I'll be right back and we'll take callers. All right. I'll be right back. All right. Let's take callers tonight. Good to be with you tonight. All right, my first caller tonight, 910-379. Who would talk to you, Richard, please?
Randy, this is Faye out of North Carolina, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. It's the girl from who's alive and well and getting better all the time, I'm believing. How are you doing? You sound good.
I'm doing pretty good. I've got a lot, as everybody has, and you two, going on, and just calling for a little prayer backup. And one of my friends has COVID, too. I thought maybe we'd call for them.
Oh, my God.
Have some prayer. And I'm wrapping this stuff up, too, with the sisters are going to release me in a couple of weeks. And
awesome.
I was going to get prayer about that. And so I meet back with my lawyers and try to get this case on the road.
Yeah.
I said, man, I need some backup prayer. I thought,
okay, no kidding,
I'm going to try to chat with Randy. Chat with Randy for a minute.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're calling in.
Since that war broke out, too, man, I've been hooking up with you guys about as often as I can. It just set a fire up under me when that war started out. It was like, whoa, like a great awakening. I thought, goodness, we're really getting close to stuff. I have got to tune in and catch up, see what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That was really because we've talked about it several times already, but I have a habit of repeating things a lot because we have sometimes new people listening, plus, you know, people just need to hear it more than once anyway. But,
I tune in with you often, and then I tape you. Well, not tape you. I go back to your link, and then I take notes. So, you know, I'm interested in what you're saying when I get my pen and paper out and start listening over and over, taking notes, writing down the script.
Yeah.
That way when I listen to you, I can sit back and relax and enjoy. Because if you're taking notes, you're going to miss stuff. So that way I just go back a little later and then I'm to your link. And
oh, cool. Interesting. I love that. That's great. Yeah, the war thing was really amazing. We just closed up the buying gold and silver. We've been talking about that for years. We stored up the money, as God had me doing, you know, for what I thought was going to be for a building. And one day the Lord says, Chandler, what you doing over there? that's not for the building. I'm going,
that
I'm
is
going, huh?
Brilliant.
It was. It really
that's
was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Who would have ever thought of that but God? He said, that's going to be for my people. And I'm going like, you know, that's a good idea, even though it was like, you know, taking it like that I've been saving up that money. I've been saving that money up, you know. He said, yeah, you've been storing that up for a whole different reason. I'm going like, okay, whatever you say, you're the boss.
That is so cool. That's so cool. He gave me like two amazing dreams, and then I was coming out of them, and then it became an open vision as I was coming out of the dream about money and offerings and stuff. This was a while back, and it was very awakening as well. But, you know, time went by. I was just, and plus, last couple of years, I've had the cancer thing, radiation, kidney out. I mean, the last 5 years has been just unbelievable. And then as I was recovering pretty good, there came the nut that ran the stop sign. That put me back to war. But it's all things work out for the good for us who love the Lord, all of us who love the Lord, called according to his will and stuff. So it's actually got me still where I can study, and I'm not like wanting to run here, run there. Just it's
right.
I feel and at peace.
Oh, okay.
And just I'm having a my own private Jesus festival. There you go.
Wow, that's awesome.
And just studying and growing in the Lord and recuperating still. And being very patient and, you know, keeping my you guys are about the only fellowship I have or that I want to have. A lot of people I talk to, they just don't.
Yeah.
Chat about the same thing I'm interested in, I guess. Right now I'm interested in what's happening.
Sure. Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I know.
Man.
Like, you know, if we're hearing something other than what's going on, it's like it better really be good. You know, are you going to lose my attention?
Oh, man, these are some of the most exciting times, I mean, we've ever lived in. We've heard about it. and read about it all of our lives, and it is here. It's exciting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm just, I've been excited. My excitement's kind of changed from level to level. I've gotten a little bit more nervous. No, not nervous, not really nervous, but like a little bit more of the fear of God has been gradually coming upon me because of my personal involvement in what I've known for years that I'm going to be doing, you know, at Indian Time. So, and then to literally watch the confirmation on that stuff happen, you know, back to back to back to back to back. And it's like the labor pain for that. They tell you that, you know, we can tell when the second coming is because you're going to have earthquakes and war, rumors of war and all that. But the truth is, you know, when it's back to back, when it's back to back to back to back to back, the labor pains, then you start understanding that you really are close to having that baby, right? And so that's kind of what's been happening with me. It's like, you know, it's been several things over the years, but they've just added up, you know, like back to back, and then quicker,
and
sooner, back to back.
Much more intense, and, yeah, intensity,
yes,
and everything, and Christine.
Exactly, yeah, much more intense. Like every time the new one hits me, I'm like going, I thought the fear of God hit me last time. What's this? This is the real, real fear of God. Like, oh my God.
Right, I know exactly what you mean. While I'm talking with you, let me ask you this too. One of my neighbors, I hadn't really searched out these scriptures. I'm trying to find them. I guess some of them, but I hadn't taken time. There's so many things to learn.
Yeah.
He's talking about in the end times. At the end, I'm talking when the war's happening, Armageddon, all that. That USA is
okay,
not
yeah.
even known to exist. It's not in the Bible. Randy, you know all these things pretty. You study this stuff. Is the USA going to exist? I imagine quite
yeah.
a bit, brother. Is USA?
Oh yeah.
Going to be existing when that time comes?
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because I can't find it. I mean, he can't find it. I don't know.
Well,
where it is.
It's not about. It's not. It doesn't have. You don't have to find it so much as it's not about finding what it's like. There's a
in
lot of countries you can't
yeah.
find. Yeah, there's a lot. There's
right,
a lot of.
That's right.
There's a lot of countries that are going to exist.
Not
that's not going to be. Yeah, that are not listed in the big thing. So, but is it going to be a predominant country like it is right, like it has been? No. So in that sense, it's going to become weak, just like President Biden. You know, my word about Biden that I got. I kind of think I have some
I
special
remember
information
that.
On that.
That you it
yeah.
woke you up. It was audibly spoken out. Yeah, I remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah. He spoke that out to me. I did not know who he was. Even some of my political prophet friends didn't even know who he was. They said, isn't he like a congressman or a Republican? I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking you. And they didn't even hardly know him. So, but it was a very unusual situation. So when Biden became president, I mean, he had tried to run for president like two or three times. And he couldn't even get out of the chute, man. He couldn't even get out
exactly.
of the chute. He'd just fall down. It was horrible. And then now here he is, you know, almost 80 years old, when he 77 or 78 when he became president. You know, he's like slow, you know, like I'll probably get when I'm 80. I don't know if I'll be that slow or not. I may be slower. Who knows?
I don't think so, Randy. I don't think you will. No.
I have a feeling if I keep my brain thing up, I'm not going to be that. Yeah. If I could tell everybody my energy level, I turned 70 years old on October the 7th when the war started. I have more energy and more gump about me than I've ever had in my life. I mean, it's just truly amazing to me personally. So when he became president, that was because he was weak, you know, I'm sure he's a fine man. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a fine man who has some, I think he believes in, you know, he doesn't believe in abortion, but his policies. So anyway, I don't want to get, so, because he was weak, because he's old and weaker as an older man and can't really communicate that well as he used to be able to communicate, it's obvious. It doesn't mean he's stupid. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. It just means that he's weak. So it's the perfect
yeah.
image of what God showed me was going to happen. You know, when he shouted Joseph Biden's name to me, I didn't know it at the time because he was much younger then. But when he finally became president,
right.
that America would become weak. Therefore, like the guy you're talking to, are talking about that talk about, well, America exists. Oh, it's going to exist, but it's just not going to exist in the list. Hey, there you go. It's not going to exist in the list. Oh, baby.
In the list.
What?
No longer a power country, exactly, yeah.
It's not going to exist in the list, man. Yeah, it's
right.
Not going to exist in the list. So, but it is going to be,
on the
you
back
know,
burner.
We're going to, yeah, exactly, real big time. Now, we're going to be for Israel. I believe we're going to have a president. We're going to have a president. We're still going to have a godly. I think we're going to have a godly president eventually. It's not going to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a great guy. I've loved Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump. I love his big mouth. I love the way he just calls things out. I love that about it. Yeah, I love it. So, but by the time he gets through doing his thing, and the system people, you know, do their thing, and all that battle's over. And he doesn't become president, by the way, again. But so we're going to be ready for somebody more. He's kind of like Peter. He's like Peter. Peter has a big mouth. He's going at it, man. He's getting in trouble all the time. But he's a man. He's used by God. But we're going to have a guy who's going to be kind of like John. And so anyway, so Biden has been the sign of what you're saying, that guy's saying, except we are going to exist. We're going to be America. We're just not going to be America, the beautiful. We're going to be the weak, much weaker compared to what we have been. We're going to be like really weak, but we're not going to be bad. We're not going to be an evil nation. We're going to be a godly nation, and God's going to bless
Amen.
Us. It's just not our purpose to be in the top 10 list.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
So
that
does that answer cool. it maybe a little bit? Yeah.
It sounds good to me. He almost had me convinced,
okay.
Man, we're going to be blown to smithereens with nuclear stuff.
Nah.
I thought I hadn't heard
not
Randy
happen.
Say anything like that. See, that's why I tune
yeah.
in with you guys, man. It's like balance. You got to be balanced.
Yeah.
And
you
it's
know,
exciting.
There's a lot of people.
Exciting.
There's people that kind of think that can go on now. I'm not saying we're not going to have, trouble.
A little shakedown.
You know, I'm not going to say we're not going to have little shakedowns and stuff like that. Thank you. But destroyed and no longer existing, that's not going to happen. And
amen.
One of Biden's jobs is to kind of hand the sovereignty of America over to, you know, the United Nations or, you know, UN, whoever he does it to, Europe. It's all going to go to Europe, basically, and that's where the Antichrist is going to come from. And I already know. Yeah, I got it. God give me his name.
Oh,
well,
I took notes on that. Looked up his picture.
And,
I got that in my notes. Yeah.
And he is a European. He is definitely European.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. His father started the Rothschild Bank in Europe many years ago. Funded the Queen. Funded the Queen's family. You know, not that that's a bad thing. You know, he was just, you know, he's just a money person. He thinks about money. And when you're a banker, that's what you do. But it just so happens that system's going to go raw, it's going to go bad, and they're going to control. And so, but it doesn't mean that because he's funded the Queen and, you know, the things he's funded are they're in agreement with that he's the Antichrist. They don't know he's the Antichrist. So they're not going to say, oh, be careful what you say about Nathaniel because he helps us a lot. I'm going like, yeah, I understand. But, you know, what's going to happen is Nathaniel Rothschild is going to turn into the Antichrist eventually. But before that, he's going to be a person who helps a lot of people with a lot of money, and that's what the Rothschilds have done, including Israel. They built
exactly.
their Knesset for them. They built the Supreme Court buildings for them. And they're very
they
connected,
come
we think,
to,
with
come them. To the rescue. 911, come to the rescue.
Yes.
Randy, while I am blessed that I actually have you audibly and can speak with you for a second, but I won't take up too much time, though, honey. Can you quickly just give me just a few things I can do to get not to be foggy-brained? I know you can't see certain things, but just common
uh-huh.
sense stuff that I'll probably know
yeah.
when you say it. Just I'm still foggy, and I can't put up with this fog, man. It's like I drink too much
gotcha.
Coffee. I'm even chewing nicotine gum, so I'm going to wake myself
don't
up.
You
but,
dare.
don't
you dare talk about my coffee.
I need to really call it. I like coffee too, man. And I do the nicotine
yeah.
gum some too. But I gotta get this fog gone.
Oh,
Yeah, just a few things, because I know you don't
okay.
want too many things you can say, because people take it wrong.
Well,
if something happens, they'll come back to Randy.
Yeah, the only things that I can't really talk about is the actual experiment that I'm doing on my brain, and the things that I'm doing. But other than that, I can talk about
I'm gonna jot down
okay.
a couple of things
right.
When I go back to your site later, I'm gonna jot them down. There you go.
Okay. Great.
Rapid
yeah.
machine
well,
fire.
But you've been on medication for a while, right? I mean, you've been having a lot of pain medication.
I've been on it for
thing,
years.
You know?
I had the radiation treatment. I had so many things happening.
Hang on a second.
Medication free now. Yeah, I'm
off.
Oh,
you're on medication free now. Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been off
that?
One little
blood pressure.
Yeah. How long? How long have you been off?
A couple months.
Okay, that's great.
Once in a while, I take a pain pill. Yeah, once in a while.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. You know, if I'm in pain, I take a pain. I'll take an aspirin or something. I'm not against taking a Tylenol. I just don't hardly ever have headaches or anything, so I don't hardly ever take them. But if I did, I'd definitely take one. So I'm not against that. But
absolutely.
Okay. So hang on a second. So you've been on medications that may take time to get it out of your system. So you probably, I don't know how to tell you to cleanse your system. I don't really have a good, simple way to cleanse your system from that. You might find somebody else.
I'm doing distilled water, different things, and I'm just doing some cleansing already. Yeah. I just want to get this brain fired up. I want my brain fired up too now. This is cool. I think, my gosh, because the movie you were talking about the other night, I've probably seen that movie half a dozen times. It's one of my favorite movies. Oh, man.
I know, me too,
That movie will fire you up.
Yeah, it did me. So here's one of the things that I do personally that is easy to get, and it's not you know, you can buy pills. I buy lots of pills, you know, vitamins and herbs. I buy lots of that. I take trace minerals. Trace minerals are very, very, very good for you. They taste horrible, but they're awesome. One of the big things that I do every day, if I don't have my protein, which is either some, do you eat meat?
Oh yeah.
I do. Okay,
bison,
there you go.
And
so,
fish, all
so making
kinds of
sure
cool stuff.
Your brain, I have to have my meat. I have steak, chicken, you know, whatever, some kind of beef. I have that. If I have to do it every day, and then I have avocado. Avocado is one of the best brain feeders that you'll ever have.
I don't put anything in it.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest brain. In fact, one night on the show, last Thursday night, I got on the show, I'm not last Thursday, but Thursday before last, I was on the show and I was doing video, and video nights are really high pressure because I have so much stuff going on with the video stuff going on, and
it's
I don't have a little
up,
studio,
yeah.
so I'm having, yeah, I set it up and the whole thing, and then making sure, you know, because I have to set it up every time, so I've got that pressure on me, and then I'm doing the show, and my brain wasn't thinking clear. You know, like you're talking,
Ooh.
My brain wasn't thinking. I couldn't come up with a couple of words that were easy words. I'm going, what's wrong with it? So I realized, oh my gosh, I haven't had any avocado today, and I haven't had meat for the last 4 or 5 hours. So I said to everybody, I'll be right back. I got off the video, and you know what? Nobody knew what I was doing, but I went to my refrigerator, and I grabbed me an avocado, and I'm swallowing it and getting inside me. And I took me I had a turkey leg in there, so I took the turkey leg out, and I'm eating some turkey leg and get the turkey leg in me, you know, swallowed it, drank a little bit of water, and within, you know, a few minutes, I'm back, you know. So that tells you right there that just the simple thing of protein and avocado,
yes.
You have to have avocado. I have avocado twice a day, not a full avocado, but I eat it depends on how big of an avocado you get. If you get a big avocado, it has a lot of avocado in it. You can take one of those and live off of it. I'm a big man. I say I'm not that big, but I'm 6 foot, 230 pounds. So whatever you call that. And so a full avocado, a big avocado per day pretty well does me to where my brain can function good. Also, I have almond butter, like peanut butter. So if it's almond
butter.
Oh,
that's good stuff. All right.
Yeah, that's good also if you can't seem to keep up with the avocado's the best for your brain.
I love
it's
avocado.
Literally one of the,
I love avocado.
Okay. But you need to have them every day. You can't just eat them like on weekends when you have to have them every day, because it is the best brain food that you can have.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so you
this
need to have
great,
that twice a
you're,
day.
You're naming everything that I love, so it should be easy.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great. That's great. So you don't have to train yourself to like it.
Right.
There's some
almond
things that I take. Okay,
stuff.
Good. Yeah, I'll just go in there and I'll open up the lid, get my spoon, stick it down there, and get me a mouthful of it and swallow it and, you know, go about it. And so
oh, yeah.
I have to make sure that I have, you have to have good fats. Good fats are like peanut butter or almond butter and avocado for sure. If you don't have anything else, avocado. Of course, you want to have, you know, eat veggies every day. That are take
oh,
veggie,
yeah.
veggie pills. They do have veggie pills these days that are pretty good. You can buy them.
Yeah.
Where you have veggies and fruits. I've done that where you buy the pills that they have veggie fruit. And plus I have veggies and fruit too.
Right.
You know, so that's really good for your brain, because brain fog can be in your situation because of the situation you've been in with chemo and or not with whatever you not chemo, but whatever you've been going through.
Radiation.
The drugs.
Yeah.
Radiation. There
right.
you, yeah, the radiation and all that can really just do a number on you. And so the avocado, I've experimented. I'm a scientist at heart. I've experimented many times. Like that night I was on the show, all of a sudden I realized I'm not going to make it through the show. I mean, I can make it
wow.
through the show, but not effectively, right? And I knew, I checked, what's wrong with me? Because I know myself really well, and I realized I'm not talking clearly, and not thinking as clearly. I noticed it. Maybe nobody else noticed it, but I noticed it. And I went, what have I not done today? Oh, my gosh, I haven't had any avocado because I got really busy, you know, and then I hadn't had any protein for 3 or 4 hours. So I jumped up from the show and got it right then. And then within a few minutes, I'm clicking again, just like, and that shows you how powerful that one thing is. Those two things are to keep that protein in you and the fat. You have to keep good fat inside you. And so plus I take a good vitamin. I have a good vitamin
oh,
that I
yeah.
take that has a little bit of every. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Do that. And there's a lot of other things that I do, but as far as, you know, basic brain
food. That's quick, basic. Yeah, basic things that we
yeah.
all can do, healthy stuff. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Having fruit. Now, if you're eating sugar, I have my milk. I have a milkshake. I sin once a week with my sugar. I have a milkshake. I mean, a float. I have a float. I'll make myself a
right.
float with ice cream. I try to buy the best ice cream that I can, and then I'll get root beer or a Coke, a regular Coke. Sugared up Coke, I'm just going to tell you. And I make me a float. I love it. I do it once a week, and that's it.
That sounds yummy. That sounds yummy, dude.
once
that
I'm over
good.
That, but if you're eating sugar on a regular basis, the wrong kind of sugar. Now, if you're having bananas, apples, whatever you like, fruit, you can eat any kind of fruit. Grapes are really good
right.
for you. It's really, really good for you. And so make sure you have your sugar. You need sugar. Sugar is what helps your brain cells communicate. But it has to be the right kind of sugars. The wrong kind of sugar will, you'll find yourself, your brain cells will communicate kind of in a fake way, and then the next day they don't communicate anymore because it's not. But when you eat fruit, your cells will communicate with each other. That's what sugar is known for, is to cause your cells to be able to communicate and be able to, you know, think and do things and be active. And so that's important. And, of course, your veggies. I try to eat as much good food as I can. Like when instead of having veggie pills only, I go get me a Subway sandwich at Subway if I don't have get a chance to get my veggies. You know, I'll go to Subway and have, you know, I'll have them loaded up with veggies. I try to do that 2 or 3 times a week if I'm not able to get veggies, you know, at home. And then just basic things. Veggies,
this is so cool. It's been so long since I even had avocado. Now, see, tonight, it's one of my favorite things. I just hadn't picked up because I'm not out and about that much. But I'll be loaded up with some avocado. That's just good by itself. Healthy chip or something.
Exactly.
Yummy.
Get you something that won't bog you down. I just eat it. I eat it without chips. I take it like medicine. I take it like I go open up a pill.
Well,
it's a doctor.
It's delicious. It is absolutely delicious food.
It is delicious. Here's the thing. Let me tell you this. Let me make this a real strong point. If avocado is, in my opinion, is the greatest brain food that we have.
Woo! I love it, and I love avocado.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Try to get those trace minerals.
I know, to start eating that stuff all the time.
Yeah. Are you familiar with trace minerals? The liquid trace minerals?
I wouldn't have any idea which kind to pick up, but I'm very familiar with it. I just hadn't got any. But
I understand. Let me tell you. I will tell you the name that I get, and they taste horrible.
Okay.
But they are the best.
Okay.
They are the very best. You're gonna get. You don't have to take much of it, or you'll get diarrhea. All right. It's called.
Okay.
The name of the bottle is Trace. TRACE. It's called Trace Mineral Drops. The blue bottle.
Drops.
Kind of a medium dark blue bottle with a white and blue that said Trace. TRACE Mineral Drops. Trace.
Who makes it?
I think that's the company name. Yeah, I think Trace is the company name.
Okay, that makes it easy.
Yeah, concentrate is concentrated, full spectrum. So it's if you really want to get your minerals in one good batch, like I said, it tastes horrible, but find out how much you need of it, and then start doing that, you know, every day. And your fingernails will grow. Your hair will be better. And here's another thing,
cool.
Faye. Let me tell you what's happened to me. These are all things that are pretty easy to get. Are you familiar with collagen? Collagen.
Yes. Collagen.
Okay. Multi-collagen. You can go to the store and buy the Ancient Nutrition is the best kind. And get the one if you get it. Ancient Nutrition kind. That's the name. Ancient Nutrition.
I watched them on TV. Yeah.
Yes. There you go. The multi-collagen protein. Okay. Yeah. Do exactly. Get the one that it says on the bottom, 10 types of collagen. Get the one with 10 types of collagen. The other ones are good too, but make sure and get the one. Get you one of them at least that has the 10. Down at the bottom, it'll say in a golden letter, it'll say it have a golden 10 and then 10 types of collagen. And then all the other things in too. So I recommend that I'm going to stop right there. But collagen is huge. It's huge. It's really, really huge. Let me tell you what happened to me. The hair on my arms started turning gray about 50-50, you know, because I'm 70. And so they're turning gray. And so when I started taking collagen, you know, and I don't care when my arms have gray hair or not. Who gives a rip about that, you know? But what happened was when I started taking collagen, especially the one with the 10 types of collagen in it, my hair on my arms started turning black again.
Ooh,
or dark brown.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's what that means. Here's what that means. It's not about the hair, but the hair shows you that there's health and color coming back into your system. So if it's causing your hair to turn back to its original color, which might have been gray for a while, about 50-50 gray.
Oh, yeah.
And so now it's like 80% brown. It shows you how much of it changed. You know, 20% gray, 80% brown. And that happened rather quickly. And so that tells you what it's doing on the inside of you. It's not just that I don't need my hair to turn brown. I don't care about that. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what it's doing on the inside of you. It's turning your hair brown on the outside. What it's doing on the inside is making you healthy and producing things that cause your health to sprout forth. That's really what that means. So it has to do with not getting your hair back the color that, you know, you're on your arm. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the greatest proof that it's working for your good in a major way.
Exactly. It even shows up, physical evidence. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Thank you. That's a better way to say it. You talk better than that. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's cool.
So if you do
that's
those
cool,
things,
cool. Yeah, yeah,
and if, it, it,
this,
let me
this,
ask you, let me ask
I'm so excited because I remember those two guys I see on the TV. It's been a while. The ancient, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, on TV, and they're talking about it. Yeah, it really truly is good stuff, and I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't. And it's amazing. So, but here's one more thing you might add to it. I don't know if you like hot peppers or if you like hot cayenne pepper.
Oh, yeah,
pepper,
I like hot stuff, yeah. Green peppers,
okay,
red peppers, all, yeah.
So having peppers in your system opens up your blood vessels so that your blood flows. That's what that really happens when somebody takes a bite of a hot pepper. They go, oh, my God. What's happening is that your blood vessels are all of a sudden going, whoa, and it opens up, and that blood starts going, wow, you know. So what it does is it causes the blood get to your brain faster and easier. It causes the blood to flow through your body faster and easier and more powerful with more blood. And it kind of forces it to go through. It opens up your blood vessels so that blood can flow. So most people's blood vessels, because they don't get much exercise, are constricted. But when you have hot food, when you have hot, plus, and you know, I take pills. I buy ginger is a good one, too. Ginger liquid, you can buy liquid ginger, and it's hot. You can put that in a drink or something. But start yourself drinking something hot or eating something hot at least, you know, around once or twice a day. That keeps your blood flow going.
Oh, man, that sounds great. Oh, yeah, I definitely need it. See, I'm still in and out of a wheelchair, mainly my transportation around the house, and I can handle a walker pretty good now. So I'm kind of immobile a lot. That would be helpful. Because I'm getting all my little stuff situated, so I get started now. I'm going to wait to, like, New Year. But kind of start gathering and start getting in new habits, and these are no time to have a dull brain. This day and time, we have got to be alert and quick and sharp. You're sharp tonight, you must have ate some avocado before you came on. You are sharp.
I do it like medicine. And plus, I also walk fast. Now, you can't do
absolutely
that. But you need to find some way.
But I'll be doing it next year, though. I mean, this is not a permanent situation.
But you can find any way that you can find to get your blood circulation flowing through some kind of exercise. Even if you're just whipping around in the wheelchair, you know, moving your arms, getting your heart rate up. Yeah, because what that does.
Yeah, I almost do a wheelie on the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So what it does is it gets your blood flow. That's another thing that makes your blood flow go through your body and causes your body to come back to life, which when it's not, you know, it's dull, like your brain is dull, because it has the blood flow, because you've been laying around, you've been sick, you've been down, and when that happens, that's what happens. So to get sharp again, avocado, I'm glad you like all this stuff, because that will really, really make a big, big difference. If you'll do the thing, maybe you can mix up some hot avocado. That would be really good.
Oh, gosh, yes, that's right. Put hot pepper in it, make my own little thing there, recipe thing. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm glad I got you tonight. Take a little note.
Me too. This is awesome.
Because this stuff
I love.
I love talking about this stuff. Now, sweet potatoes, too. I love those things. Are you into sweet potatoes? Does that help us a lot? Pretty cool.
Anything, it has sweet. That's a sweet thing. That's a
natural,
real sugar thing right
sweet.
There, yeah. Yeah, natural sugar, exactly.
All natural.
Now, if you put a bunch of junk on it, if you put too much junk on it, a little bit of stuff's okay. But if you too much stuff, like cinnamon is really good for you. Cinnamon is really good for your blood pressure. I've actually experimented with that. I ate a whole bunch of cinnamon for a while, and I found myself, you know, telling Julie one day, oh, God, I don't know why I feel so laid back all the time. I mean, just like that. And I realized, oh, my God, all that cinnamon I'm eating, it's actually doing it. So it does work. So you have to find out how much to have and that kind of thing.
It got chilled to another level, it sounded like. Chilled. Randy,
it did.
Randy, before I hang up too, man, can we pray for Kevin, my friend that's got COVID, and also pray for my – I suppose I'll meet up with my attorneys here pretty soon in the next couple of weeks. About all this stuff, because I told you, I think it was a couple of months ago when we talked, the new laws in the United States, that now you're kind of responsible for a lot of stuff yourself, even if you have insurance and all that.
That's crazy.
But I'm not worried about it at all. I got some good lawyers, so just pray for like Kevin for him to get healed up with his COVID. He's a pretty young guy. And he works out at the gym. He's strong. I'm surprised it's got this put him down in the bed. And my attorneys and we'll be ready to roll. You probably got some more people on the line. Got a chit chat. It was a blessing though and a miracle to get you for a couple of minutes. I have my pen and paper.
Yeah,
ready.
Thank you.
A couple notes and later on I'm gonna listen to your clip because I copy paste your clip when you get started. I already got it copy pasted and ready to roll.
Wonderful. That's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's really cool. And, of course, I gave you some basic things as far as getting your blood circulation and your brain fed. You need to feed that brain. And when I don't have avocado, just that one thing. I can have a lot of things. If I don't have avocado, my brain goes, which way do we go now, man? literally, it's amazing.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And my brain thing my brain thing that I do also has taken me to a whole other level. I'm at a whole other level right now. I'm like a little kid in a candy store. I'm like so excited. I'm almost over energetic, you know, and it's just from doing this thing with my brain. So when I can release this, if God gives me the grace to do it, it's changed my life. I mean, literally changed my life. My brain is not perfect.
Man, I'm excited.
It's not perfect by any means, by any stretch of imagination, but this is one of the things that happened to me. I went from being a person who could organize, but it was really hard for me to do it. I could do it, but it was hard. When I started doing my brain thing, the first thing I noticed that changed with me was my brain could organize, boom, 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 just like that without even hardly working at it. So I knew that something was different because I've never been an organizer. I could organize,
but
it was hard.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So... And then plus a lot of other things that started happening to me. I don't want to get into it right now, but I'd love talking about this brain stuff. But so that'll help you, what I told you tonight. And
that's cool enough to get started, good. It's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's just natural things you can get anywhere. So that's so cool. And it reminded me of things that I absolutely love that I hadn't had for a while, too.
And eating stuff that has Mexican, like cilantro, like the pico de gallo, those kind of things.
Yeah.
You can mix that with avocado. All the stuff, all that stuff is really, really good for you. I have that in my drink. I make a drink that I make, from mushrooms. I have mushrooms in it. I have everything you can think of in it. I have lion's mane mushrooms, mushrooms. I got everything in it you can think of, all my vitamins, all my everything. I mix it all up and I make a drink out of it. And it literally just opens up your blood vessels because the whole thing I designed it for is for opening up your blood vessels so that your blood could flow good. When your blood's flowing good, you got energy out the caboose. Yeah, I mean, literally, your energy level just goes out off the roof. It's just amazing, and it's all natural.
Yeah, that's why I got to wake it back up. Remember years ago when I talked with you, I was bouncing off the wall, energetic, never slept. I was like the energized bunny, and all this stuff just kind of just put me back just like the living dead almost. It's like plus anemic. I'm not sure if I'm still anemic. I'll find out my next blood work. I've been anemic 3 or 4 years. I mean, serious anemic where you have blood transfusion.
Oh, no.
I'm much better now. They'll do some more blood tests when I go back probably January, sometime in January. And I think I'm probably across the border, and that's behind me now, I would think. And I eat a lot of bison and red meat and different things. And I was taking a pill for that. I forgot what it was. I don't even take that now. I just want it to naturally everything go back up.
Well, black seed oil, one thing that a couple of people turned me on to here at PGN, I think Jeff and Yuki, I think, turned me on to black seed. And then also Angie from Virginia turned me on to black seed oil. It cleanses your blood. It's a really, that's also something, I mean, I try a lot of different things, and that's one of the things I've stuck with, which tells you that I've proven it. It's called black seed oil. Let's see, what's it called? Black seed oil. And you buy it,
any health food store. Yeah, Black Seed.
Is it a certain company or they're all the same?
This is called Premium Amazing Herbs. Amazing Herbs, I think. Anyway, I don't know.
Okay.
Black Seed, but it really cleanses your blood. And Angie told me about that a while back, and I started doing that. And most things I don't keep doing unless I see a result. So I can tell you that actually works for your blood.
Oh, yeah. I'm Facebook friends with her. If I can't find it, I'm gonna hit her up on Facebook. Yeah. I got that.
There you go. Ask her about that.
Yeah, Black Seed Oil, Amazing Herb. Yeah, I'm going to check that out, too. That's amazing. Just like you said, Amazing Herb.
I love it.
Well,
thank you for calling in.
Let's
pray for you and
Kevin.
Pray for your friend. Kevin, yeah, Kevin.
Kevin.
For your lawyer thing and all that. Thank you, Lord, for
That's
Kevin.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for just as he cries out to you, God, that you will. You know, when I'm sick, I don't like to pray. When I'm sick, I can barely. I mean, I have to say, when I get sick, I'm like a sissy, man. I like turning into like a wimp, and I hate being sick. So I don't like to get sick. When I get sick, I'm worthless. I don't pray. I do nothing. You know. And so Jesus, help him to get over this and to strengthen him, and to we plead the blood of Jesus over him, over his life. God, we declare that death will be swallowed up in victory. In Jesus' name, any kind of death, not just physical death, but the death trap that all that stuff does to us, that opens us up to things. We just thank you for cleansing him of that, washing him of that, and making his blood strong again, his immune system strong again. We speak to his immune system tonight, God, and I declare and decree over his immune system to be energized and let him find ways to get his immune system activated, which Echinacea is what I do. I've been doing Echinacea for like 20 years, and it's the thing that keeps me from getting, you know, Echinacea. Echinacea is a natural herb that God turned me on to years ago when I had some bad teeth. My teeth were swollen. My gums were swollen. The dentist said, go home. You know, you have to take you have to take this stuff to stop you from, you know, being all swollen up. Instead, I went home and I took Echinacea, and Echinacea did the same thing. It took care of it completely. In natural, it didn't mess with my immune system. It helped my immune system. Echinacea will help your immune system. It works alongside your immune system instead of taking it over like a lot of the drugs do. So I recommend that for anybody, for anything, unless your doctor tells you not to do it. But in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for showing him the things that will help his immune system become strong, that will cleanse his blood. Not only by the blood of Jesus do we speak over him, God, but we thank you that the praises of God will rise up within him and that his heart will begin to feel life coming back in it. His heart will begin to feel life, the spirit of Yahweh, of Yeshua, coming back into his heart, God, to bring his heart to life in the areas that it has fallen asleep or been hurt or wounded, God, that you will comfort him in Jesus' name and bring him back to life, God, that he will sense that life surging in his heart, God, his soul. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. And thank you, Lord, for the attorneys. We thank you, Lord, for good attorneys. We like attorneys. Hallelujah. We like good attorneys. And, So thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Thank you, Lord, for helping them work with Faye to work all through this and her come out and be blessed by it all. In Jesus' name, give them wisdom, give them courage, give them strength, give them abilities to counter whatever the enemy comes up with and to end up on the blessed side of this for the sake of your child, God, your daughter. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So we pray for Faye. We thank you, Lord, for all the things she's beginning to do to bring her body back to life, to get her brain thinking clearly, that fog beginning to be done away with. See, when you told me you weren't eating any avocado, I'm going like, that's right there. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but that right there is your main problem. I really believe that avocado, I know for sure. Plus, not only is it, if you do research on it, you'll find that out, but I've experimented with it many, many times. And when I don't have it on a daily basis, being 70 years old, for some reason, if I don't have avocado every day, I'm slower.
I think slower. In fact, if I want to have a slow thinking day, I just don't take avocado. Literally, I just want to like. That's what I do. I don't take any avocado. So, but it's just like medicine for your brain, literally food for your brain. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And all the things you're giving her, Lord, to cleanse her blood, to cleanse her blood vessels. Also, I know I mentioned all these things, but these are things that I do on her. If I give you something I do every day, you know it's important. And the next thing I'm going to tell you about is a virgin coconut oil. Try to get it in your body every day, unless your doctor tells you not to. And if he tells you not to, get another doctor. But pure, you know, virgin, if you can. It's virgin oil. Virgin coconut oil is easy to find these days. It's everywhere. But cold press is the best. And take whatever your body. I take a teaspoon at least a day. And what it does, Faye, is that anything that is stuck to your blood vessels, anywhere apart, whether you're in your brain or in your colon or wherever, anything that is stuck to any part of your body, it will loosen it up and cause it to come loose. Literally, I've seen it. Virgin coconut oil, take a teaspoon a day or so, whatever you can handle, maybe do it twice a day, and get it into your system, and that will start going through your blood vessels. If you do it on a regular basis, it'll start loosening anything like something stuck in your blood vessels, your veins or your blood vessels or your colon. It will literally, if you keep soaking it with it, it will literally cause it to just come loose. It just can't, those things, whatever's stuck on there, it just can't stay there with virgin coconut oil going through it. Believe it or not, Julie, who had horrible colon issues, where she would be like, she would look like she's dying, right? This happened on a regular basis. She looked like, I'm like going like, she said, I've been doing this for their years right now. I'm not dying. I just look like I'm bad, but I'm not dying. I mean, she had this for years. A friend of ours turned us on to coconut oil, and I told her about it. She said, there's no way that can work, but I'm going to try it. She tried it, and sure enough,
wow.
For years she had that problem. As a child, she had that problem. And the coconut oil just changed the whole thing. I mean, literally. She never had that problem again. Yeah, that was amazing. And I'm talking about a chronic thing that went on with her colon. You wouldn't think coconut oil would do that to you, but it did. It did her, and I started taking it too because I saw the result. And I had black tar coming out of my body. I had stuff Ooh. Coming out of me that had been stuck to my blood vessels and my colon and whatever else it was stuck on, to my veins and blood vessels and my colon, whatever. It just causes it to loosen up. It can't stay there. It has to come off. So if you got something growing in your body, coconut oil will cause it to make it let go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounded
well, there you go, in Jesus' name. And pomegranate juice is probably the best thing that I've ever done because with some other things I have, pomegranate juice by itself, if you make it fresh, will be, I don't have colds anymore because of pomegranate juice. I never have colds anymore because of pomegranate juice. I make my own. I don't buy the concentrated stuff. I make my own. And, if you ever get around to doing that, that's cool. I think it's pomegranate season now, so it's a good time to buy them. And eat them. You can just eat them. If you'd like to just eat them whole or whatever, make juice out of them. To get the pomegranate juice in your – pomegranates were in the temple that God told Moses to put the image of the pomegranate all over the temple. It's all over the temple. You look at how they built – when they built the temple, one of the main images that they had put in there was pomegranates. The priest had pomegranate and a bell at the bottom of their priestly garments. A pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, all around the bottom of their priestly garment. So pomegranates are extremely healthy for you and will fight. I think the reason that God told them to wear a pomegranate and a bell as a priest going in to cleanse sin because pomegranates cleanse your body from all kinds of things. You just did a little research on pomegranate juice. And literally, when they say what it says it does, I'm telling you for sure it does it. Amen.
Wow. Man, this is awesome. Learned a lot here tonight.
Thank you.
Wow.
Love All right,
Thank you
girl.
So much. I appreciate you.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling in, Faye. Anything else?
Thank you. No, this is good. I'm excited. All the stuff I've learned, I don't have to Google and search it out for hours. I got it straight from someone
yeah.
who does it.
Someone who does it has been
it.
Doing it. They've been doing it for a long time, and I wouldn't tell you something that I think is. I got a lot of things that I think are working, but the things I told you are things that I know for sure that work. For sure, for sure. On the human body.
It's easy stuff, too. Easy.
It is
stuff.
Easy. It really is easy, yeah. It really is.
And
all
delicious.
Right, girl, we love
Most
you.
Of that stuff you named was delicious. Love you,
yes.
friend. And
okay,
I'm
the
tuning
only
in again tomorrow
delicious.
Night. It's like every night
okay,
I look forward
you.
To tuning in to the show, man. It's so cool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The trace minerals are the only thing that tastes horrible, but I just got me a bottle yesterday, matter of fact. But they really do change your body. It truly, truly change your body. All right, girl. Good night. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Thank
you.
Tell Kevin we said hello. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, 682-466. Can I talk to you from, please?
Yes, this is LaShawn from Texas, Randy.
LaShawn, what are you doing, girl, over there?
Nothing. How you doing?
Last time I saw you on a text, you sent me a picture of you being on vacation somewhere in some beautiful place. I got jealous.
Yeah, I just got
back.
Why
didn't you invite me? Huh?
Yes, I just got back Sunday. Yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. So what's on your mind today? We'll pray for you here in a little bit. What's going on? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, it was fun. It was great. I mean, I had so much people show me love. I went to Jamaica this time. So I was over there in Jamaica.
Now, what about Jamaica? Say it again.
So I went to Jamaica. That's where I was in Jamaica.
Okay.
So I was saying it was fun. I had a nice time. It was very nice.
Great. I've never been to Jamaica. We have one lady who calls in from Jamaica. I think Carolyn. Maybe she's called on your show. I don't know, but
yeah,
Caroline or Carolyn or something like that. I think it's Caroline.
Yes.
Yeah, she's from Jamaica.
Dr.
So
Carolyn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carolyn, there you go. Yeah.
And I was like 4 hours from her. Yeah, she is from Jamaica.
Okay. Cool. So you made it back. Good. That's awesome.
Yes,
so what's
yes,
the Lord,
yes.
Lord showing you anything? Anything happening? What's going on? What do you think about the war? What do you think about Israel and all that stuff?
Yeah, he haven't really spoke to me about it. I'm just waiting until he say anything else. I haven't heard anything. So no.
Right.
Nothing too much. He's just been giving me dreams about a lot of artists. That's it. That's what my dreams been about. Jada Pittens, you know, Smith and Lil Wayne, you know, dreams like that. Nothing big and major.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really heard anything about, you know, we're about to have, you know, the Armageddon or you know, necessarily, but the thing that when people ask me, what's the Lord showing you? I say, well, really, kind of like what you're saying. I haven't really been shown anything specifically like him telling me, you know, this is it. But the reason that I say that it's big because as a prophet, as somebody, I've talked about this for years, where I have a calling to Israel. I've been to Israel one time. One of my main Hebrew, my main tongue that I pray in tongues is, I have several languages and tongues that God's given me over the years. And one of them, the original one, was Hebrew. Well, I didn't know that until I went to Jerusalem. And then one of the guys there who picked me up was a Palestinian, of all things, who just got saved. And he said, let's pray. So I started praying. And obviously I spoke in Hebrew because I didn't know it was Hebrew. He said, oh, you know Hebrew. I go, no. Anyway, so he told me what I was saying in Hebrew. It was amazing. And then plus, you know, I've had a visitation of Michael, the archangel, which is the head angel of Israel. I've been told many years ago what I was going to do in Israel, a major part of the end times, you know, and so, you know, that was kind of hard to believe, you know, back in the time, like, oh, yeah, right, God. And so, you know, things sort of God spoke to me the name of the Antichrist. I released that on PGN on September the 12th, on a Monday. 3 days later, the Red Heifer shows up in Israel, you know, as most people know, most people listen to us. And the guy and the person that had the Red Heifer, who's still red, by the way, happened to live right down the street from me. It was a friend of mine's brother, you know, who had the Red Heifer. I go like, oh, my God. So all these things began to happen. Market things started to happen to me, stock market things. Because I have a market mantle that God gave me in 2005 when an angel came and told me there's a massive merger coming. A mantle was ignited on my life. And so, mm-hmm. So I've had that for a long time, and it's supernatural. So all those things together, and then when the war, then we did the transaction thing, the wealth transaction thing of buying gold and silver, the money we've saved up for a long time that we're going to buy a building with. The Lord said, that's not for that, Randy. You got that designated for the wrong thing. I go like, what is it for? He said, it's for my people. I went, oh, my God, okay. Whatever you say, boss. And so we took 90, 80, 85% or so, maybe 90% of it, and bought gold and silver with it so that when the market crashes, that the gold and silver will multiply and increase exponentially and become, you know, worth a dollar. Something we bought for $5 will be worth, you know, $5,000. And we got a bunch of those, you know. So that's going to be a blessing for the body of Christ. And so that happened. And then 3 days later, the war in Israel happened on my birthday, which all that together told me, even though I didn't have a word from God about this is it, the fact that it happened on my birthday, and I wake up on Saturday morning on my birthday, you know, just laying there trying to wake, and I turn on the news, and the Lord says, happy birthday. I'm going like, yeah, thanks. Well, what do you mean happy birthday? Israel war, and they just got slaughtered. Happy birthday. You know, and he knew that I knew what he meant when he said it, right? He knew that I knew what he meant. So I went, yeah, I know what you're saying. I just have a hard time admitting it. But, okay, God, so in other words, it's up, huh? And so that's about what I got out of it. So for that reason, I don't really have a thus saith the Lord about, he just like, happy birthday, you know, and then I knew what he meant when he said, because that slaughter of Israel and Israel declaring war on my birthday was a big sign to me personally from my personal calling. So do I think it's about to happen? I think it is happening, yeah. I don't know exactly details on timing or anything. Definitely ignited.
Right.
From the information I just shared. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. I remember I had a dream. When I had got off a plane and I was saying, I'm in Israel, I'm in Israel. And I went through this field. I went through this field and they had like a worship band and it was like women and children in this field. And I heard lay in the field, worship in the field, because it's the field of boiling. This is the field of healing. And so I had that dream. And so I started researching barley and all the health benefits of barley and which country owned the most barley. But I did have that dream about being in Israel. Barley, they say barley is good for diabetes, high blood pressure, also help with cancer. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah. And the dream said lay in it, worship in it, because this is the healing field of barley.
Right.
I was going to say,
okay,
tell people to start stacking up on barley. Start telling the people to stack up on barley. And I went and bought a whole lot of barley, and it's very good for you.
Right. Now, I wasn't aware of barley being that – I mean, I knew barley is good because anything that God has made of grain, they're good for something, but I didn't know for what. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look it up, because I was listening to you when you were speaking to the previous caller. They got so – and I was hearing that she went through chemo, Soursop, S-O-U-R-S-O-P is good for cancer patients. And so it was just one season the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about these different herbs and different natural stuff to take for our body and telling people to go on a fast to clean their body out. So he was speaking to me about a lot of natural and herbs, and that's when I had that dream about barley. And so that's another
right.
thing sour sock is really good for you too, especially cancer patients.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that. Cool. I'll check into that.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got barley bread.
Yes.
I try to eat gluten-free bread, so I don't have barley. I don't know if barley's gluten-free or not, but I have gluten-free bread, but I think you can have barley gluten. I'm not sure. I have to check that out, but
mm-hmm.
I know
mm-hmm.
anything God made has to be good for you, but
mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, I really believe in all that. I think we need to find out what everything God made, what he made it for, and then start eating it. If we're having a problem
yeah.
with it, we find out what, like barley. We find out what was barley made for? Why mm-hmm. did God make barley? He made it, you know, if it's an original thing, then what did he make it for? Well, he made it for, you know,
right.
all the things he said, you know. So we start eating that stuff, and I don't think eating good food can heal you. I mean, I know it can help you get healed, but I don't think that
right.
it can heal you necessarily. But it can help you open up to getting your body to where your body can heal itself, because God
mm-hmm.
made barley. If God made barley and then it's for your body, then it's going to make your body get better, be stronger, so it can fight things, you know.
Right.
But you know, I know God only heals, but I do know that if we eat right and we eat the right things and feed our brain and feed
mm-hmm.
our body what it needs, then we're going to live. We may live 100 years healthy, or 100 years sick, so we can choose. We're still
right.
going to live. Let's say you still live to be 100 years old, but you're going to live 100 years old sharp, like Moses, go down, you know, sharp, and his mind was good. Or you can go down 100. You can still live 100 years old, 100 years of age, and be sick most of the time, and be dull and can't think straight, and you die kind of like of Alzheimer's or something,
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, going out healthy and for the most part strong. That has to do with,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what food has to do with. It may not make you live longer, although it might, but mostly it helps you live sharper and cleaner and clearer, to where you can think clearer. Your body will be healthier, you know, because it's getting fed what it needs.
Right. Exactly. And I'm telling you, I was in a season where, like I say, the Holy Spirit would speak to me and give me stuff and vision. I would walk in the store and I would hear, get peanut butter. And I'm not a big peanut butter eater. And I'm like, peanut butter? Well, peanut butter have a lot of protein, and it have magnesium in
yeah.
it. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit wanted me to eat peanut butter.
Yeah.
And it's some benefit
yeah.
eating peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, peanut butter's good. It's good fat. It's also, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things good for it. I have some. I eat some every day. Just like I just have I buy a big container of it, and I go over there and dip me some out with a spoon, and just, you know, I don't eat it because I enjoy it, although I do enjoy it. I eat it because
mm-hmm.
my body needs it, mainly. That's why I do it. Sometimes I'll make me a peanut butter sandwich, or I eat almond butter, which is kind of
mm-hmm.
like peanut butter. It's just a different kind of nut. But yeah, it really is good for you, and you like beets. Beets are really good for you too. I have in my drink I make. I put beets in there. I put all kinds of things. I put lion's mane mushrooms. I put, you know, every mineral, every vitamin I have, every herb I have. I mix it all and grind it all up and make a drink out of it. And it's
beets help with circulation too. Beets is very good.
Exactly.
For your blood.
Yes.
Mhm. And high blood
anything
pressure. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's really the big thing when it's high blood pressure. And
mm-hmm.
because if your body, there's anything you can find that you'd like, if you can find things that you'd like, it helps. That help your blood vessels open up. Like, do research on things to open up your blood vessels and say, I like that and that and that and that. And I don't like the other things, but I like this. Just start eating them. Start finding things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can start getting your blood vessels open, because most of the time your blood vessels, if they're not open up and flowing good, you're gonna feel sleepy, you're gonna feel lazy, you're gonna feel tired, you're gonna think you're being lazy, but you're not really lazy. Your blood vessels are not pumping energy through you. So
right.
it's really basically that simple.
Right. And magnesium is good for your brain too, and your heart. Magnesium
okay.
is good for high blood pressure as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I think I've heard that before. Yeah. I think I have magnesium in my vitamin I take every day. So yeah, I put that in my mm-hmm. I put that in my drink. I don't have just magnesium by itself, but I have magnesium in one of my vitamins that I buy. Yeah. So that's yeah. These things are really real. They really work. It's not just a gimmick. Now I'm sure some things are gimmicks because they're padded with all kinds of trash in them. But if you get the good stuff that's really, you know, has in it what they say, it really is good for you. And our foods
right.
just don't have enough stuff in them. So we need to add, you know, at least a couple of vitamins, some kind of thinking, get some things going on. Some people, I have about 40 things that I take, 40, 40, 30, 40, something like that. I don't know how many I take. But I have a lot of different things that I take because I do research on them. I find out what I want to open up my brain, to open up my blood vessels, and I buy that mm-hmm. and make sure I'm not overdoing too much, you know. And I mix it up in my drink. I grind it all up in a juicer and put beets in there, put lion's mane mushrooms, mm-hmm. put wood mushrooms, which are good for – they feed these little mushrooms, they're brown mushrooms. You buy them at the store. You know, Thailand store has them. And they feed them to mice, and mice – they did an experiment on mice, and they fed they fed one mouse with this brown mushroom. They fed, and it didn't feed the other mouse with the brown mushroom. They sprayed them with some, mm-hmm. You know, radiation stuff, and the one who ate the mm-hmm. brown mushroom didn't get affected by the radiation. So I thought, I'm going to buy me some of those, and I put those in my drink. Yeah, not that I'm worried about radiation, but if it protects you from radiation. I'm not really concerned about radiation, but if it protects you from radiation, my gosh, it's got to protect you from something else major, I would think.
That's
so
right.
I added that to my drink recently, yeah.
Right, right. That's good. I tell you, it's a lot of stuff that the Holy Spirit have revealed when it comes down to help. I remember you said this years ago, Randy, how so important to take care of your brain and certain food to eat, especially if you operate in the prophetic.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
true.
You saying that years ago. That
do you?
How,
okay,
you
thank
know,
you. Yeah.
Right, how you sleep, what you eat, it can affect your brain, especially if you operate in the prophetic. And that is so true. It's so true.
Right.
Some food... There are some food you can eat, and, like, I dream a lot. I have dreams. Sometimes I have 5-6 dreams in a night. And some food, clean food, will help you with your – you can dream more.
Really?
You know, so, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe it.
Vitamins as well. What is the name of that vitamin that's green? It's spelled with an S. Spiraling? It's with an S.
Spiraling?
But it,
yeah, spiraling.
It's supposed to help with your brain cell. And they say
yeah,
the people that dream, right. And it really do work.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, what happened was mm-hmm. with me when I first got a hold of this, I was doing a lot of meetings, right? And Julie and I would... You know, we go to Walmart, and as we're checking at Walmart, we see some Butterfingers and, you know, and God knows what else. I don't want to, you know, give any description because somebody might like them and start wanting one. But I said Butterfingers and all kinds of things. We stop, and we just, like two little kids, like, we just look at each other. They got candy all over our mouth, you know, and we're just loving it. And so I go to a meeting, and I got to where one of my friends told me, he said, Randy, what happened? What's wrong? You and Julie having a fight or something? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you weren't very sharp tonight. And I went,
yeah.
You know, what? And so what happened was the Holy Spirit said, it's all that sugar you're getting in your brain. It's keeping your brain from being able to receive the word of the Lord so you can communicate to people. I went, what? And I experimented with that and found out that it was true. And that's what kind of got me on that. Yeah.
That is so true. All that candy and sugar make your brain crash. Like to eat the healthy stuff. And wheat powder is good too because, you know, when Naomi and Ruth, you know, Ruth was working in the field with the wheat and barley.
True.
And that's what they ate back then. And they made a lot of things out of wheat and barley. And I can just imagine some of them probably lived a long time. because they don't have access to what we have access to now.
True. Yeah, that's really true.
And so when I went to Jamaica, when I went to Jamaica, they have real fruit with the seed in it. I mean, they grapefruit is not like orange like over here. It's actually yellow. And they grapefruit have all these seeds in it. And they have different types of orange and different types of watermelon. And they are seeds. And I remember growing like the cucumber. They had the real cucumber with seed. And I remember that's how we was raised with, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers and okra with the seed in it. Now they taking the seed out of things. And so seed watermelon, seed grape, if you have any type of special cancer in your body, I have read where people went on a 14-21-day fast just eating grape seed and watermelon and how the cancer dried up. And so it's just amazing to me how the Father put these things on the earth. Even they trying to get rid of the stuff and grow it on top of the ground or whatever they doing, I just like, Lord, lead me to the right fruits and vegetables. You know what my body needs. And I remember a couple of years ago because I was dealing with the high blood pressure. And I remember the Holy Spirit told me, do your blood type. Know your blood type. I just kept hearing that, know your blood type. So I went in and asked my doctor, what's my blood type? And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, even some of this medicine that they are putting us on, it doesn't work with our blood type. Even like some blood types, they need meat. They need to eat meat. You have that
That's
blood
true.
Type, they need meat. Right. And
I
so
agree.
It's just that season he was, you know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about a lot of healthy stuff.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. The blood type thing is real. I've dealt with that, and Julie and I dealt with that. We got into the
mm-hmm.
blood type thing and started finding out what our blood. You can order a little kit to find out what your blood type is and
mm-hmm.
choose yourself, you know. And so, but yeah, it's. I remember the first time I got that book. That's back years ago, and I think I even talked about it on PGN a little bit because you know, everything I do, I talk about it on PGN, so I know I talked about it, but. But yeah, that's a real thing, and there's so many things that don't work with us, don't fit with us, and we're like you said, we're getting medications, we're getting food, we're getting things that our body's not digesting properly and can't work
mm-hmm.
with because of our blood type. As crazy as that sounds,
mm-hmm.
so it
mm-hmm.
and it really is true. It really is true.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have gas. They have buildup of gas. They have all kinds of things going on all the
mm-hmm.
time. And what it is,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it is that they're eating the wrong. They're eating foods that are not good, that are not for their blood type.
That's right. And I'm just amazed that He will when you cry out and tell the Father you want to be healthy and live longer and bring your youth. He can reverse your youth. Like you say, you in your 70s, but you don't look 70. I'm in my 50s, but I don't look 50. He will bring your youth back. He will reverse your age.
Yeah.
And I think us, you know, taking care of our body will help the process along the way. Because I can go without meat for 21, 40 days. And then I get meat, you know, I need meat. You know, I would eat it. But I can just eat fruits and vegetables all day long.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I can do all the time. I used to be a faster. I used to love to fast. I don't fast much anymore like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I fasted 40 days a few times and 30 days, 20 days. I was a fasting aholic. Every time I had a problem, I'd fast for 20 days, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I just love it because it makes
mm-hmm.
you feel good. It makes you feel really good. And your body gets cleansed out.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good. And you would think
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't happen, but you feel so almost supernatural. It's addictive, actually. It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, so that's good. And I did enough fasting. I think I figured it one day I fasted for 7 years altogether. Maybe longer than that. When I look back at all the time, I think it's more like 10 years. But as far as all the time I'd fasted, I added it all up one day. And I go, oh, my God. I used to go on a three and a half day a week fast every week for years. I did that for a solid year. And then, so 3.5 days a week. That's when I found out vitamins really work, because I started feeling weak every day, and I'm working at construction tonight. I'm starting to, think I'm a very energetic person, right? So normally, if I'm not feeling strong, something's wrong. And therefore, a few days, I've been doing a fasting. I was fasting 3.5 days a week, every week for, months. And I guess it was having a toll on my getting enough what I needed. So for a couple of days, I started feeling really like, oh, God, something's wrong with me. I can't bear to get around. It's like, and I got to work and that kind of. So God didn't just speak to me, but I felt like I went to Walmart and I just bought some cheap vitamins for men, and I started taking them. And lo and behold, man, I just kept on doing my thing, my fast thing, and everything was great. So that's when I really realized for the first time that vitamins were not fake and phony. If you buy the kind that have the real stuff in them, it really is real. It really does help you. I think you went
exactly.
Mute. There you go. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I heard you say exactly. Yeah, so you're back on. Okay. So, and one of the things I've been working on, as I've talked about lately, is the brain. I've been doing a brain research and on the brain and what, how the brain works and God waking me up. Well, the reason I know God was involved in it, the Shun is because I was, because he started giving me words that I didn't know what they were in the middle of the night, words of knowledge or whatever you call it. He'd speak to me and I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning like, okay, God, thank you. And I'd click my phone and I'd say, gotcha para papa, or whatever it would be, something I didn't know what it was, And I'd wake up the next morning and look it up, and sure enough, it was about the brain. I started realizing that God was trying to talk to me about the brain. He said, I want you to work on the brain. He said, people think that the brain's not important, that it's new age, if you're talking about the brain, like the brain. I said, God made the brain, man. I said, I'm telling people, God made the brain. He wants that brain to be fully activated so that God can use it more fully, which is exactly what's happened to me in the last 6 months to a year. I have found that things that I normally couldn't do, that, like I use the example of organizing things, I can organize, but it's really hard for me to do it. And right. I'll organize for 2 or 3 days. And then I won't organize for a month. It's just like, oh, God, So now it's like organizing has become easy, which is I've never had that, LaShun, in my life. And when that happened to me, that was my first sign that my brain testing and working, my experiment, was actually working.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I see
because
you. I've
never
been there. Yeah, I'm here. Oh.
Yeah, I've never been an organizer at all. So when that started happening, I knew for sure that, I'm onto something here, and plus a lot of other things happening too. But that was the most obvious one of something I've never been able to really do. Now I do it with, I enjoy it, and it's easy.
Right. Yeah. When you get up in age, you need that little boost. Because I'm like,
the things you used to do when you were younger, you start slowing down, but I thank the Father, because I'm telling you, I'm like, where is I'm getting all this energy from?
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I've got so much energy that, literally, I sometimes run across the room. It's like I'm just skipping, I said, what? I said, slow down, Chandler. And it's all natural. There's no drugs.
Right,
an unnatural thing at all. And it's not, it's the most pure energy I've ever had in my life. And it's not just from the food. It's not just from the minerals and the vitamins. That's a big part of it. But the most 75% of my energy and my change in my brain has been from what I do to my brain, what I work on my brain. And it's totally just I mean, I can't even believe it. It's like, man, I wish I'd have done this when I was young. I would have been a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I doubt it. I can't about that. But I doubt it, but you know, something, you know, better than a dummy, you know, for sure.
Yeah, just imagine if a lot of parents can get a lot of their children off that sugar.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and another thing, exercising, you know, just walking. You don't got to be the best bodybuilder. Just go for a walk. And this is something, you know, me, I'm an outdoor person. I like to be outdoors.
Okay.
I don't like to be in. You know, it depends on if I want to shut myself in, but I'm more an outdoor person. And the sun do work. I mean, you need some sun now. Sun help your body, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it does. It feeds your body vitamin D, and it's really good for you. Yeah, and exercise. I walk. Julie is the one who got me walking. I'd never been a walker before.
Mm-hmm.
We started going to the gym. I've never been a gym person, even though I was an athlete and played ball, and we had to work out back then. You have to work out. So it was always a hard – I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I was like, I didn't like work. I didn't like lifting weights at all. So I never did it, except when I was doing sports, when they made me do it. So Julie and I started going to the gym and started doing light stuff. And pretty soon, man, I'm going like, man, I'm bulking up, and I didn't even know I'd bulk up. I saw a picture of myself one day. I literally did not know I'd bulked up. And we were taking a picture of my dad and me and Julie together at Christmas, you know, a few years ago. And I looked at the picture. I'm going like, I looked at it. I said, that's weird. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I could tell. I didn't even know I had bulked up, for me at least, bulking up. And I just do light things. I would do a bunch of them. I do like 15 reps three times. I do like push up, you know, or whatever I do. A little bit of weight, but I do them 15 times, three times. You know, I just did that because that's the number I came up with. And pretty soon, you know, I didn't realize it, but I started asking other people, what do you do? Oh, I don't do that many. That's too many. I go, you got to be kidding me. They said, that's probably why you're bulking up, because you do so many. I went, but I'm not lifting that much. So it's not about how much you do. It's, you know, just doing it persistently. And so, getting that blood flow going is everything.
Yeah. Yeah, some people just got that natural, like you said, depending on your body type, your blood. Some people can go in the gym and they get real firm real quick. It don't take them that long. And I'm a very solid person. So it won't take too long for me to start building mass because of my bone structure and my body.
Right.
So some people can pick up muscles and get lean real quick.
Yeah. I have big bones too, and I'm 230, you know, 6 foot 230, and I gain weight and lose weight and gain weight and lose weight, but I usually maintain around 225, 230. When I'm 220, I'm skinny at 220, and so I've been 230 lately, so I got a little bit on me, but not much. But it's as long as I keep exercising a little bit, and if I stay busy, and when I eat, do a little bit of walking, you know, not much walking, but a little bit of walking.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk right after you eat, that's a really big thing to help your weight. So that your food doesn't just sit in your belly. And so if you get up and you know, you don't have to walk hard, but just walk as brisk as you can. But in, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I walk 20 minutes fast. These days I've gotten to where I walk fast. Like I almost run, but I'm not quite running. I'm walking really fast. I'll do that for 20 minutes before the show, even to get my blood circulation flowing.
Oh, that's good.
You know,
that's good.
I have an avocado and a little bit of meat before the show. And then I go walk after I eat to digest that into energy. And then I want to come on the show, plus all my brain stuff I do and everything else I do during the day. I'm ready to go, man. I mean, I'm ready to go. And it's really changed. I mean, like I said, I'm 70 years old, turned 70 October the 7th. And, man, I'm just, like, full of it. I mean, I'm ready to go.
Eating an avocado.
Yeah, it's really – it's the best brain food I think we have out there. that I know is on the market, and it's easy to get, you know, as long as you don't put a bunch of junk in there, you know, putting something hot, mixing hot stuff is really, really good for you too. I was telling Faye about that. If you like avocado, then make it really hot as you can, and get that in your blood system, because that will open up your blood vessels big time. And so I do all of that stuff. I buy liquid ginger. You can buy ginger. Ginger's hot.
That's good for you. That's good.
Yep. You can put that drop in your drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you get to where you like it. I get to where I really like it. And it opens those blood vessels where that blood can flow, and you'll find yourself thinking clearer and having more energy. Why? Because your blood is flowing, and your blood vessels are opening up, receiving more blood. So it's just that simple. It's just really that simple. And anyway.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, share this.
Okay.
I remember the holiest. I was sitting in the living room because, like I said, I was dealing with a poor circulation and high blood pressure. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, get cayenne. You know, I say cayenne. You know, the hot pepper, the red pepper.
Cayenne pepper,
told me to take it in the morning and take it at night. And so I did my research on it, and that opened your blood vessel up. It showed someone had a heart attack. They worked in the doctor field, and they passed out, had a heart attack. And one of the nurses told them, run and give me some cayenne pepper. And say they didn't have no vitamin signs, nothing. And they put it on her tongue, and she came back alive, saying the cayenne pepper opens with the blood flowing through your heart. And if you got any blood clots, cayenne pepper will break those blood clots up. Yeah.
Girl, that is so right on. I got so caught up into cayenne pepper that I was, you know, buying the hottest you could get. And sometimes I would take too many of them, and my stomach would be burned. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go to the hospital. Yeah. And so, So I agree with you.
It would not cause an ulcer in your stomach, but you'll be burning some other places too.
Exactly.
But
when it comes out the other end, get ready for some fire.
But even before you go to bed, you put some, like, get some olive oil and put that cayenne pepper on there and put it on the bottom of your feet and put socks on. And it said it'll draw the blood to every area. And you can do it to your knees. It will pull your blood to the area that does not have blood, especially if you got cold feet. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So you use olive. Yeah. I've never heard of that before. You put olive oil with cayenne pepper on there, huh? And then put your socks on so you don't get on your bed or whatever.
Right, you can use either coconut oil with that cayenne pepper or olive oil. I have been it before. I did it with the olive oil. I put it on the bottom of my feet and wrapped it up and went to sleep. It draws the blood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. I never heard that before. That's really cool. So you put it on the whole bottom of your foot or certain parts of your feet or just the whole bottom of it?
You wrap it up.
What, the whole bottom?
You put it on a paper towel. You get a paper towel, put the olive oil on there, and then you put the cayenne pepper on there, put it at the bottom of your feet, and you can kind of wrap it with some ring wrap and put your little socks on and go to sleep with it.
So you put it all on a paper towel and then put the paper towel on your foot and then put a sock on it. I got you.
Right.
So you're covering the whole bottom of your foot. That's what I was asking you. The whole bottom of your foot is covered with it.
Yes.
Basically.
And you can do that
for
your knees, too. Like, if you got that arthritis, you can put it on your knees, wrap it up on your knees and wrap it up, and it take all that inflammation, swelling out your knees. Cayenne pepper is really for pain. Like, if you anybody that deal with swelling because of the inflammation, if you put it on that area, that cayenne pepper with some olive oil, it'll take it away.
Yeah. because it makes your circulation go. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm really into. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been into with my whole brain thing, the whole brain thing. Everything I think about and getting the brain activated 100%, which is my goal, to get every part of my brain fully fed and opened up every blood vessel. Because I believe, I don't have any proof of this, but I believe that a lot of our brain that is, it's not dead, it's just asleep. Because it's just getting barely enough blood to stay alive, but it's not really able. It's like waking up from a deep sleep. You can't even hardly think and talk for, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way our brain is. And so when we start, so my whole goal is that I'm finding ways, doing research, plus God is speaking to me about things. And then I go with that, and then I listen to people like you and other people tell me different things that they get into. I think I'll add that to my thing. And so, you know, the goal is to open up the blood vessels all the way through your whole brain, that every blood vessel is open up 100%, flowing with blood, and therefore what's going to happen? You're going to have 100% of your brain activated, and you're going to be blown away about how smart you get all of a sudden. I mean, literally, here's what's been happening to me. And I don't even understand this, right? All I can say is that I'm not a scientist. I'm a scientist at heart, but I'm not really a scientist. So what's been happening is my brain has so come alive to the point it scared me, because I'm getting words in conversations. I found myself, my brain was wanting me to use higher level words instead of like the words I usually use, you know, like that are, you know, lesser intelligent, I guess, more intelligent words. I'm going, where's that coming from? Is it in my brain already?
What?
And so I'm struggling with that, LaShun, because I'm going like, I don't even know what that word means, and I'm supposed to say it in the middle of a conversation. They're going to think I'm crazy because I don't even know what it means. You know, almost like a word of knowledge, except it's not a word of knowledge. It's actually my brain, you know, giving me words to say. I would have never thought that. That was shocking to me. In fact, I still struggle with that to this day. It's been going on for a couple of months now, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months. And I'm fighting it because I'm going like, I'm having to trust that these words that are coming to me, which is just conversation words, but they're high level words, higher for me.
Right.
At least they're high level for me. For some intelligent person, they would be like, oh, that's not really that high level. But for me, it is. And
right.
So to use some of those words, I don't even really know for sure. I think I know what they mean, but in the middle of a conversation, using them, I ain't gonna do that, make a fool of myself. You know, so I'm having to trust that. It's very difficult, but that's one of the positive. That's one of the other things that I know for sure that my brain experiment is working, is because my brain is coming alive, and it's giving me information and it tells me. Sometimes my brain tells me what to do. I mean, like for example, I drive around Garland. I've been driving around Garland, Texas for years, right? So I know most of the streets pretty well. My brain knows. This is what I didn't realize. My brain knows a map of the city, you know, like, because I drive it. I've seen it many times. My brain knows it, right?
Right.
So what happens to me now? This is really weird. A really weird one. But I'll be going like I always go. I'm going to go to the store. I'll go here, turn there, go over there, and all of a sudden my brain goes, oh, you need to go this way. Turn here and go that way. I'm going like, I'm not going to do that. I never go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brain, first I thought it was the Holy Spirit. And even though the Holy Spirit was, you know, the Holy Spirit made our brain, right? The Holy Spirit made our brain.
Right.
So he made our brain. Yeah. So I'm giving glory to God, of course. All the glory belongs to God, because who made our brain? God did. So, but I think we don't realize that our brain is made that once it sees something a few times, it takes it and it works it and it starts telling you better ways to get there. I'm going like,
right.
So I finally started yielding to that, you know, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I would have never thought about doing that way before. And I've been driving in a garden for years, you know, go here, turn there. And I'm going like, you know, yeah, wow. So I said,
you know,
Lord, what is that? Is that you?
Yes.
Is that you guiding me? What is it? And he spoke to me. He said, I made your brain, Randy. I made the brain much higher than you realize. The brain does much more than you'll ever even imagine. I went, boy, that's the truth. He said, when your brain starts coming alive, you're going to find yourself like what I've been finding myself doing. My brain is telling me where, because my brain knows the map already because I've been driving for years, right? So I've made it planetary. So now my brain can say, you know, if you just listen
right.
to me, because God made me to tell you what to do. Your brain is supposed to be telling you the best way to do things. I'm going like, oh, my God, I never thought about that before.
That's awesome. And I, while you was just talking, I was thinking about, because when my son was in school, they say they diagnosed him in school of dyslexia, but I never treated him like that. Or, you know, I just did it, you know, encourage him and say, you know, spoke life over him. But I always believe it had something to do with the brain, like you said, coming alive, being more sharpened. You know, I
right.
just believe that. I just believe that.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's what I think some, you know, young adults, if their brain can come alive, and I believe there are something out there that can help them with it.
Yeah, what they think and what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian world has called it demons. And I believe that we definitely have demons. God, are you telling me? I've done deliverance. I've seen. But some people think everything's a demon. And so, are there demons? And do they affect Christians?
Yes,
and do we cast them out? Of course we do.
Yes.
No question about it. But sometimes, you know, we're talking about somebody's got a stupid spirit like a demon. You know, and sometimes that can happen. Somebody can have a stupid spirit on them. But many times, like you're saying, it's because the brain is not functioning. Therefore, they have a stupor.
Mm-hmm.
They have a stupor upon them. Why? Because their brain, the blood vessels in there are just barely getting enough blood to stay alive. Because if it didn't, your brain would die, and you'd smell it rotten. So it stays alive, but it's just asleep and can't.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's a stupor. You can't think clearly on certain things. Some people can't learn certain things. And I'm finding out that with me personally, with the when I got the organization thing going on, listen. What I realized about that was I just don't have the gift of organization. Judy's got it. She can organize really easily. But me, I have to work really hard at it, right? So what happened when that started happening to me, it was one of the biggest signs I could have had that showed me my brain's working in a way that never had before. Because now organizing just became easy rather than some, let's organize, man. Okay, come on, man. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. And I'd wear myself out. And so now it's like, you know, it's sharp, it's quick, it's do this. Like my brain is telling me how to organize. My brain is telling me what to do. And I just go, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I'm just sitting there saying, and I'm giving Jesus the glory. I'm talking to him, right? I say, Lord, I think he said, that's your brain, Randy. I said, I can work with your brain better when it's fully activated, but that's your brain. I made your brain to do that. So give me the glory for making your brain like that. But that's not me talking to you. Always, it's your brain telling you what to do because I made your brain to do that. And with the Holy Spirit and your brain working together, oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. I just think some people's brain need to be awakened. They just got slow. Something just low in their brain. But once it comes up, they will be sharp. You know, I always believe that. Like you say, everything's not demonized.
Yeah, that's exactly what my invention, that's what I'm working on right now. That's exactly what I'm doing is I am, thank you, Jesus, for everything you give me. Thanks for all the words of knowledge. You know, I'm giving you all the glory, God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing that we are working on together is to literally force the brain, in a sense, force it, not in a negative way, but force it to receive blood and to open up and to start opening up those blood vessels and almost like forcing it to do it in a sense, very gently, but forcing it to where it starts going. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I mean, let's say as an example, a part of my brain that's asleep wakes up and goes, what are we going to do today, Randy? What was that you said? We're going to do that. And then I get a little bit of blood force into it, right? And so the next day it wakes up and goes, hey, man, what are we doing today? Okay, we're going to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, it's like, hey, man, what are we doing today? I can't wait to get it. So it's more and more and more. It comes alive, and it starts activating the more I get blood to it and oxygen and food and, you know, all the things. It's not a one thing. It's everything. It's a biblical thing. It's eating the right things. It's the things that once you get your blood vessel open, you have to feed it. If you open up your blood vessel and you don't feed it anything but trash, it's going to go right back to sleep again, right? Or affect you in a very negative way. So you have to feed it, open up those blood vessels, and get them open up, and then feed it good food, feed it healthy food. And your brain, you're going to start going like my brain. My brain is now bossing me around, and I'm getting to where I like it pretty much. Because he comes up with your brain has, God made our brains to reason out everything at a high level, the highest level, because he made it, right? Jesus' brain and the Holy Spirit together, no wonder he was so powerful, because his brain was able to access full 100 ability to do what God said and understand what God said. You know, because 30, 60, 100-fold understanding. Because when you open up your brain starts functioning, you start understanding things at, you know, the potential I'm going for is 100-fold, like Matthew 13 says. And Jesus said that about that. We could have one. Yes, when I read that one day, I realized that we could have it, because but it's not just a one little trick thing you do. It's not just eating something or drinking something. It's a multifaceted thing, which right now I'm trying to narrow it down to what really is working, and go from 50 things working to 3 things working, where it's easy. And for most people, 3 things, it's not going to be 50 things. If you have to do 50 things, people aren't going to do that. You know, I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it, so I can do it, right? Because I love it. I'm being blessed by God, and God gives me the energy to do it. So I'll do it. I'll spend hours doing it. But most people don't have time to do that. So you need to – so what I'm doing right now is I'm breaking it down to where it can be easy, and, and different people will be able to take it to different levels. Some people will be, do it 100-fold and become extremely, their brain is going to just like – it's going to shock them. It's going to shock them. It's going to shock them. And then some are going to have 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, just like Jesus said in the Bible. And some will just maintain, those who don't do it will maintain, 10% of the brain or whatever. But so this is a mission God got me on that I am obsessed with in a Holy Spirit way, because you have to be obsessed with things that you're pioneering. When you're pioneering something, the obsession is of God, because if you don't, you'll give up easy, because there's so many things, so many hurdles to go over. You have to have extreme, passion for it, or you will give up.
Right, and that's awesome. That's confirmation, because I remember the Holy Spirit was giving me wisdom, deep revelation about the 100-fold. I'm talking about 100-fold all the way around in good health, 100-fold. And that's just confirmation what you just said. So that's awesome.
Yeah, look, think about this. This is what I've talked about this a few times, but on the show off and on, but. Here's what when I talk about 100-fold, I went from most people talk about 100-fold about money. Man, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. God wants us to have 100-fold. He wants us to have that 30, 60, 100. But that scripture is not talking about money, but it is it's talking about understanding. But listen to this. God started showing me, he said, Randy, if you'll focus on getting the understanding will give you the money. It'll show you how to access my provision, because then you will understand how my provision works, and the spirit of poverty will just be off. It can't even come close to you. You see what I'm saying? So we get it. As I get more to 100-fold, as I'm getting my brain going, activating my brain, I don't even know what level I'm at. I can't even imagine. I'm wanting to have a thing done on my brain. I wish I had a machine where I could just stick my head in there and see what part of my brain is lighting up when I do certain things, when I eat certain foods. I need a machine. I need something that, or just, find me a doctor that let me come in and do it or something. So every time I do something, while I'm doing it, I can stick my head in that thing and say, oh, look, that part's red, that part's green, oh, that part's black. So we need to get it. That part's kind of asleep. It's asleep. We need to get it red. We need to get it hot. We need to get it going. This is green, that's blue, and be able to tell, but as this is happening, I'm finding myself figuring things out. My reasoning, I'm reasoning at a high level. you know, for me, a high level for me. So what level I'm at, I don't know, but I can tell you right now, as this thing continues to go up, and if I ever get anywhere near 100 fold, I can understand how that, you know, you're just going to be like a walking genius, because God Almighty is going to be able to speak to you so clear, and you're going to hear it clearly, and you're going to do it clearly. 100%.
Right.
That's why Jesus said that about 36 and 100 understanding, was because he's talking about, if you can just understand, it's one thing to hear the voice of God, it's another thing to understand it, right? To understand the word of God. And the more my brain gets activated, the more I understand the word of God. So this isn't just about getting your brain going so you can think about your own thoughts. This is getting your brain going so God, just like with Jesus, he had 100% of his brain functioning. Just like Jesus and God, just like us and God, being able to flow 100% understanding. So when you've got it used to take you 3 hours to do something because you had to work through emotionally and mentally, and now you get it done in 3 seconds. That's so you work less and you get a lot more done, which is what happened in the Garden of Eden. The curse was that you had to work really hard and sweat to get little results. But the blessing is you work less, you use less energy thinking something. You know, taking 3 hours of energy to think something through, then now you take 3 seconds, maybe 3 minutes, done. So what happened? You got more done with less energy, with less strength. My yoke is easy, and my burden is – I'm going to teach on that soon in the light of my new understanding. Mm-hmm. Because when he said my yoke is easy, my burden is light, I got a whole nother understanding on that with the brain. I mean, my God. Woo! Oh, my God. I went into shock when I saw that, you know. The Lord said, go there. And I said, okay. So I'm reading it. You know, I've read it many times. I'm reading it again. I'm going, okay, I know what that means. He said, no, you don't. I go, yeah, I do. He said, no, you don't. I'm going, okay, well, then what does it mean? And he kind of showed me, and I went, oh, my God. That's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And so everything becomes the yoke that becomes easy. The burden becomes light because all of a sudden your brain is lit up with able to hear from God clearly. You know, what does the word of God say? Now your brain can go with the Holy Spirit, of course. It always has to be with the Holy Spirit, and you work together. What? Not 10% now, 100% working with God. Could you imagine having an army of people, if all our PGN people would have 100% of their brain working with the Holy Spirit, girl, we would take over the world. They would be going like, who are those bads in the bones? Who is that army marching toward me right now? Oh, my God.
Right.
We better run. We better get out of here because they're coming to get us. Exactly. We're coming. 100% of our brain is working with the Holy God. We're going to take Canaan land, the giants. Get out of the way.
Right.
We're coming through, baby.
Right.
Ain't nothing giant for us. The giant's gonna be like little midgets in our eyesight because our brain's working and with the Holy Spirit,
Right. Well, that's where you get the deep revelation wisdom, because we need our brain to work even to handle the money. And like you were talking about the gold and silver, we need that. We can't be sluggish.
Yeah. No kidding. I know.
We need to be thinkers. We need that wisdom. That's true prosperity.
His thoughts.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. So I'm just like, I can go off on this on that one. But thank you. Yeah. So when you think about 100%, we start talking about 100-fold. I can see why 100-fold comes with persecution, because when you start thinking 100-fold. You can be like Abraham and Isaac. You can find water where nobody else can find water. You know, they could find water. They could they dug wells and found water nobody else could find. Why? Because they understood how it worked. They had God and their brain worked pretty good. And so with God and your brain working good, you can find things. You can find oil. You can find gold. You can find silver. You can find anything God has made in the earth, because you understand, number one, he's teaching you. He's showing you got a covenant with him, and you got your brain working. Man, you take over everything, because everybody else's brain they're using 10% and you walk up using 100% with the Holy Ghost, they haven't got – I feel sorry for those people, man, those people that used to think they were so smart and so good. You walk in with the Holy Ghost, with 100% of your brain working, they just look at you and go like, okay, sir, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? We're going to go, here, hang on, I'm going to tell you here in just a moment, you know. We're going to bring you to Jesus first,
right,
and
right.
Then we're going to get you healed up, fixed up, get your brain working right, so you can be just like us. Yeah.
Right. Wow, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah. Well, girl, I'm glad you called in tonight. It's been great. It's almost midnight, getting close to midnight. I'll see if anybody else wants to talk tonight. Anything we can pray with you about? What's up? Or what do you want to talk about? What's up?
Well, you can just say a prayer, you know, my birthday. Just say a little prayer, you know. It always
is
prayer, so.
Today's your birthday?
Oh, it was Thursday.
Thursday, okay. Yeah, so just
recently.
Awesome.
No, it was Friday. I'm sorry, it was Friday, November. I can need to, you know, when you on God time, can't keep up with this earthly time. It was Friday.
I did the same thing. Okay, yeah, November 10th. All right. All right, cool. Very, very cool. Okay, so the 10th. Yeah, that was Friday. I'm looking at my calendar right now. All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you, and then we'll talk to you later. Thanks very much for being in and being one of our hosts on Fridays. Thank you, Lord, for LaShun, God. We thank you, Lord, for everything we're talking about tonight, that it become an obsession for her. That, you know, the other thing she's obsessed with, when you're obsessed with Jesus, and that's all you think about, that means you're on your way to life and eternal life in the earth, eternal life in the earth. In other words, we think eternal thoughts. We live eternal thoughts. We live them out. And so thank you, Lord, for the eternal realm, the eternal thought, the eternal life, which Jesus Christ came to give us. People think eternal life is just making it to heaven. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with that, but it has very little to do with that as far as, you get to heaven, you don't need to have eternal life. You're in eternal life as far as you're out of your body. So but while we're in this body, we can flow in the eternal life realm, eternal life thinking, eternal life thoughts, eternal life. So we're always thinking life, the life of God, not the life of man, but the life of God in man. And we thank you, Jesus, that when you put the seed in Mary's womb of the Word of God, and he became a child, a human being, eternal life entered into the earthly realm for the first time in a long time. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for showing her eternal life, the word, the eternal life, living the eternal life now. Of course we're going to live it when if we die before Jesus comes back, of course we're going to live it then. There's no question about heaven. Heaven's an amazing place. But heaven's coming to earth, y'all, pretty soon. It's going to be coming to earth. So what? I don't know why you're trying so hard to get there for. You just get born again and get right with God, and you'll have eternal life inside you now. So when you physically die, eternal life will just like, boom, you're going to be there in that eternal place. It's awesome. What a great thing to go to heaven. But I don't want to go to heaven. I want to live in heaven on the earth and live with God on the earth and live with eternal life in me in the way I think and everything I do. Amen. So when I step into eternal life forever, if I die tomorrow and start with the heaven, you know, it's just like I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, this is a lot better, but I had it pretty good. I had eternal life inside me when I was in the earth. And I thank you, Lord, for helping her think like that more and more and more all the time. We think eternal thoughts. We think about eternal thoughts here on the earth. We learn your ways about eternal life and everything that brings life and everything has to do with life in it, in Jesus' name, so that she comes to life, to resurrection life in a way that she never has before, Father, where things in her like her brain, like my brain, coming to life, things that have been dead, they would have been dead, they've been asleep, which Jesus said is the same thing, said Lazarus was asleep. Well, he wasn't asleep, he was dead. So it's kind of the same thing. So we're asleep, where our brain's asleep, it's dead. So the resurrection of her brain, God, hallelujah. That's why I'm so excited about this thing God's having me do, and I'm literally obsessed with it to the point to where, you know, now when I get into the Word of God and I get activate my brain and get into the Word of God, it's like, what's God going to show me tonight? Hallelujah. and maybe something simple, maybe something deep. I never know. But whatever it is, it's going to be eternal life. And when you share that word, those words of eternal life with people, because you're thinking on a whole different level, we're going to move out of religion. Most religion is low-level understanding of the Word of God, low-level, and it doesn't know how to break through into eternal life thinking. It thinks lower-level life, you know, there's different levels of life. And we thank you, Lord, for her. We thank you, Jesus, for her finances, for her life, God, for she learns how to breathe in, breathe out eternal life, breathe it into other people's nostrils through information, through words, through prayer, through whatever. That we, like Jesus breathed into the nostrils of the disciples, said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." What was he doing? What's the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is eternal life. Well, they were alive. They were, when they died, they were going to, you know, go to heaven if they, well, once they get born again, they're going to go to heaven. Before that, they've died, they go to a storage tank and then get saved later, you know, whatever. But thank you, Lord, for that you breathed life. You literally took breath and you spoke. You breathed eternal life into them with your breath, because in you was eternal life. And when you breathed it in, you breathed it out, it was your, you lived and moved and had your being in God. What is God? He's eternal life. Most people living and moving and having their being, they don't have it in God. They're talking about God. They're acting like they I think they mean well. I think they're very sincere. And they're doing a religious thing, but eternal life, very little of it. So when we pray for people, you know, when I give words, and they come from the Holy Spirit, those are eternal life words. That creates a realm of eternal life inside somebody when it's a word from God, when it's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit saying something, it's different when a man saying something. The Holy Spirit says something, he is eternal life. So when he speaks to you words, it is eternal life. Hallelujah. Right here on the earth, eternal life here on the earth, and it increases and multiplies, and you got more eternal life possessing your soul, renewing your mind, and your brain becoming activated where you're not going, my God, I've never thought so fast, so quick, and got things done, thought things through so fast, so clear, and so beautiful, all because the Holy Spirit gave us the ways of the Father, showed us the ways of the Father, and therefore, because our brain's coming alive, and we're able to receive eternal life information from heaven, we can also understand it. And when you understand eternal life words, which is the Word of God, come alive, that is. Not just the Word of God. It's the Word of God come alive. It's the activated Word of the living God. When it comes alive inside you, eternal life is in you right now in your physical body. Not just, you know, we shouldn't go to heaven. Thank God for that. It is so you can think and have and breathe into people. When you breathe on them, hallelujah, you're breathing like you speak. Some people have healing ministry. Some people have an anointing for healing. So when they pray over people, they breathe on them, they breathe the word on them, they get healed. Me is prophetic. Me is, you know, the market words and the mantle of that man. All the different things that he has me doing, it all speaks forth life. Hallelujah. And eternal life never goes away. Eternal life never rusts, never decays, because it's not a word from man. It's a word from God. It's eternal word. It's eternal life. And when those words are spoken over people, they start thinking different. They start being different. Why? Because they're getting eternal words, not man's mixing scripture together, coming up with something. It's a breath of God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else want to talk tonight? I'm just like feeling wild and crazy, so you never know what we're going to do. Get something you want to share, something to say. If you don't, it's almost midnight. I will call it a night and be a happy camper. Shared a lot of different things tonight. Hopefully you've been able to listen closely and hear some of it. Yeah, we have hosts who have shows, do things. Everybody has a little bit different approach to things. So, you know, listen to our host on the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Let's see. Saturdays are kind of a temporary hold right now, but Carver's taking a break. I think she's already told everybody about that. I'm sure she did when she had her show on Saturday night. She's taking a temporary break. And so Saturdays are off right now, but Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then on Thursday I come on, and I come on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, but we have also Jeannie comes on Mondays, Deborah comes on Tuesdays, and Terrence and Tisha come on Wednesday before me. And so check them out, man. Let them breathe into you those eternal words from the perspective that they have, right? Yeah, because you'll learn things from them, you won't learn from me. It'd be awesome. All right, anybody that doesn't raise your hand, give me a minute. I'll be right back.